It's showtime.
Okay, Tokyo, South America, Australia, France, Germany, UK, Africa.
Here we go. Head on with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 8th day of February 2022. Happy birthday on this day to three people. Our dear friend, Felicia, formerly of Nebraska, now of the greater San Diego area. Happy birthday. And happy birthday to my colleague and longtime brother in broadcasting, John Fox in Australia. And most of all, happy birthday to my darling daughter, Margie. Born this day, 28 years ago. Wow. Just, you know, wow. Hi, I'm Robin. It is the 8th day of February, 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. If you happen to wander by there and click on chat room and pick out a screen name and a password, well, you'll be greeted immediately by early arrivers Anatole and Roger and Squeaky and Stockton Larry. And capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, being a third-stage guild navigator, has in fact folded space to become Man Cave. Yes. Hail the gang's all there in the wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is the Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between, and the great globe round. Podcast available at White Rose Society and on Podbean for the time being, because, you know, it's too early in the month for them to throttle me for too many uploads, because remember, Podbean sucks. Just, you know, say it, not say it. Bet you'll never hear Joe Rogaine say that about Spotify, will you now? No. And, of course, there's some Joe Rogaine news out there. The Joe Rogaine news won't go away. But I did hear something on National Petroleum Radio in the last couple of days. I think it was Sunday, maybe Saturday, not sure which, that kind of gave me pause. Remind me, maybe we'll get to that later in the program. First things first, every program here at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 8th day of the month subscribers, that happy few. Thank you so much to Kim and Malin in New Jersey. Thank you to Dwayne. Thank you, Susan. Thank you to Nancy. Thank you to Brendan. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you all for being partial sponsors of the program. Where we stand fundraising-wise is something like $1,019 to come up even with the week so far. So that's funding for today, funding for yesterday, funding for Friday, and then $119 of last Thursday. Pretty sure it doesn't work this way over at Spotify, but never mind. The glory of all of this is that there's no ads. Nobody's selling you paleo chocolate chicken bone beverage like Alex Jones does, or Bose Wave radios, or Buy Gold Now like old Dead Rush Limbaugh used to. Yeah, where's your vaunted wave radio now, Rush? My friends, I don't need a radio in hell. I'm too busy with the pineapples. Yes. Mm-hmm. And then, No Swedish mattresses, none of that foolishness. Just 3 solid hours of broadcasting practically every weekday of every year since 2005. Actually, since 2004. I was trying to add that up, and my God, the number of hours is just breathtaking. And, you know, I hope we get to keep on doing it. As far as program notes are concerned, I will keep on mentioning this in case it got left out, you know, by the shows that didn't make it up to Podbean. I'm looking at other podcast platforms. It's just a matter of cost. But I will be gone next week. As far as the schedule is concerned, I know I will be gone on. We'll have a More In Monday program, and then I'll try to make sure that we've got a Friday on the Front Porch program. It's the Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. I will be on the road Tuesday. I'll be on the road Tuesday. If I leave out of here like crazy early in the morning, like, you know, 5 o'clock or so, and drive like a bat out of hell, I can be in Birmingham early enough that I may be able to get a program in Tuesday afternoon or some portion thereof. Wednesday's out. Don't know about Thursday. But that's the schedule as it presently sort of kind of exists, okay? So it would be great if we could knock down the fundraising hole that exists right now because I need to pay bills before I leave, some at least, and see where that leaves me in terms of, you know, being able to travel. I'm really, today is precisely 13 weeks post-op, and, you know, a time will come when I'll lose count, very likely, because it just won't be that big a deal anymore, but it's still a big deal, kind of like quitting smoking was. Those first few weeks of being cigarette-free were so amazing that I was marking them off not out of misery, but out of simple joy. I have no idea how long I've been cigarette free now. I know my last one was September the 15th, 2020. I don't know what that is in terms of weeks. I'm kind of hard pressed to figure out what that is in terms of months. But I do know I'm a non-smoker and I like that a lot. I'm really fond of that. And I'm really, really happy with where I am in terms of my post-operative progress. Today was shot day. That's one way that it's easy for me to keep up with where I am in terms of my progress post-operatively is that shot day is Tuesday. Turns out, and we didn't plan it this way, turns out Tuesday is shot day for me and Miss Terry. Just another one of those weird little coincidences. It's still kind of filled with amazement and wonderment. And sometimes I wake up, I'm not kidding. I wake up and I go, this, you know, it's like that, I don't know, it's like the end of the old Newhart TV show where he woke up at the end of the Bob Newhart show next to Suzanne Plachette and the other show had all been just a dream. It's kind of like that. I wake up and I go, no, this is real. I'm me. And it's beautiful. It's absolutely beautiful. Let's see here. Brother Deacon Asa, who is in charge of numbers, said 512 days, 17 hours, and 8 minutes, assuming you had your last cigarette right before midnight, 73 weeks. That seems about right. Yeah. Yeah. Since September 15th. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa. I'm glad you could run those numbers right quickly. So this being Titanic Tuesday on the horn, when we celebrate, well, not celebrate, but at least take notice of instances, examples of massive right-wing attempts at intellect, just a couple of things. Well, I mentioned the really dumb new logo of my hometown. You know, the F with an exclamation point. Oh, Jesus. Well, turns out that the company, and by the way, we finally know who done it. There's an outfit in Birmingham called Tatum Design, which gets to keep the $25,000. But the city of Florence has decided not to go forward with them doing the website design for an additional $75,000 because one gets the idea that the kind and genteel and decent citizens of Florence, Alabama would probably take up the pitchforks and the torches and, you know, and go and give the mayor and council an earful of that F exclamation point. Oh, my God, I still get it. It's, and by the way, in case you were wondering, that logo is still ugly as hell. So that's more just in the way of a brief bit of an update. But I saw a pair of stories today to get us started, and it concerns the continuing fallout of what the Republican National Committee and Ronna Romney McDaniel, Bishop Willard Romney's niece, led her Republican National Committee to do last week, you know, declaring that the January 6th insurrection against January 6th, 2021, insurrection against constitutional governance, the seat of the said constitutional governance and the actual Constitution itself of the United States of America, declaring that that was, what's the official language? Legitimate political discourse. Legitimate political discourse. You know, for instance, you know, if some little kid was to say, "Hey, Mommy, is that poo over there?" Mommy would have to say, "No, Junior, that's legitimate political discourse. Sometimes when people get upset with the government, they attack the Capitol building of that government, and they poop on the floor, and they rub it in onto the walls, and they call that legitimate political discourse." Yes. Oh, okay. See how it works? I mean, right. Well, this is something up with which Moscow Mitch McConnell, the worst thing ever to come out of Colbert County, Alabama, will not put. Oh, no. Hell no. No, he gathered together some of the Republican senators there, and they were all standing around him saying, "Harumph! Harumph!" As he said that January 6, 2021 was, in fact, not legitimate political discourse, but rather said Moscow Mitch today, "It was a violent insurrection for the purpose of trying to prevent the peaceful transfer of power after a legitimately certified election from one administration to the next. The issue is whether or not the Republican National Committee should be sort of singling out members of our party who may have different views than the majority. That's not the job of the RNC." Because what he was referring to was the fact that the RNC then went on, after declaring that smearing poo on the walls is legitimate political discourse, they went on to censure Adam Kinzinger, hardcore right-winger, north of 90% voting record with Nitwit Nero, by the way. And, of course, the Liz Dick in a Wig Cheney, also with something on the order of a 95% voting record with Nitwit Nero during his 4 years in office, censuring them for having the temerity to criticize the man who for whom these maggots attacked the Capitol. Do you feel like you're maybe down the rabbit hole or into the carnival funhouse with this? Because see, I happen to have the actual translation from the original mush mouth to Southernese of Mitch McConnell, namely, there wasn't any need for the RNC to say anything about this because we are doing a fan-damn-tastic job of making sure that Joe Biden don't get to be any more of a president than that Kenyan Muslim usurper Barack Hussein Obama did. Because that's the bottom line. Now, of course, all those words turned to ash in the mouth of Moscow Mitch because he had a chance to make this a bicameral bipartisan inquiry into the origins of the attack on civil governance in the United States on the 6th day of January 2021. But he said, this investigation ain't necessary. Yeah. But on top of what Moscow Mitch said, it was this fact. Every member of the Republican caucus in the Senate of the United States, and you could fill in the blank here with, has voted against anything that would actually do any good for the people of the United States. No, that's not that. Moscow Mitch has whipped them into line so that every member of the Republican caucus in the Senate of the United States will actually denounce, if they have not already, the Republican National Committee, their own committee, for voting to censure Liz and Adam, who are doing at least the... You know, we are at a time in this country where simply doing the absolute least one would expect of someone who was oath sworn to protect and defend the Constitution. Well, it's the absolute least you could expect of an elected representative, but, you know, here we are and there they are. But every single member of the Senate of the United States who is a Republican will denounce, if they have not already, the RNC censure of Kinzinger and Cheney. Lisa Murkowski, for instance. By the way, Lisa Murkowski has long time been a pal of Houseboat Joe Manchin. And they are, they are cross-endorsing each other. Joe said, "Well, you know, just because somebody's a Republican doesn't mean I can't support them. And I just love Lisa Murkowski. I sure hope she survives her primary and beats the member of my own party. It'll be challenging her." Sunday, Lisa Murkowski, and she's cross-endorsing Joe over here. Of course, let's remember Lisa Murkowski's endorsement of Joe Manchin means, I don't know, we'd have to go into levels of mathematics that I don't understand to calculate something a whole lot, something that means a whole lot less than zero to moi. But on Sunday, she said, "When there's a conflict, when the party is taking an approach or saying things that I think are just absolutely wrong, I think it's my responsibility as an Alaskan senator speaking out for Alaskans to just speak the truth. The easier thing to do is just go along to get along or just keep your mouth shut. But you know what? That's not why we're here." Well, goody for you, Lisa. Now, never mind the fact that you are at odds with the vast majority of Republicans in Alaska because there are almost to a person, barking, grunting, hooting, screaming, screeching, howling, barking, yelping, maggots. But, well, you do you. Good for you. Glad you could scrounge up that degree of distaste for an attack on the Constitution of the United States. Former presidential candidate and possessor of binders full of women, Bishop Willard Romney said,
one, to sanction two people of character as they did, but number two, to suggest that a violent attack on the seat of democracy is legitimate political discourse is so far from accurate as to shock and make people wonder what we're thinking.
Well, careful with that we there, Bishop.
The RNC could not have sent a more inappropriate message.
Yeah. But then again, Bishop Willard can talk all he wants about caring about the Constitution, but he doesn't give a damn about democracy because he continues to support the filibuster. You know, until he doesn't. If, as everyone predicts, and I'm covering old ground again, I know this is not a rerun, but if, as everyone predicts in the for-profit, multimillionaire for-profit media, if the Republicans take over the Senate and the House in November of this year, if that happens, well, they'll get rid of the filibuster as soon as Mitch McConnell decides he wants to. And you know who'll be right there voting to get rid of the filibuster? Willard Romney? Sure. Absolutely. John Cornholio from Texas. I don't think you can kick out of the party everybody you disagree with, or it's going to be a minority party. Oh, it already is, honey. You Republicans in the Senate represent a portion of the population that probably doesn't rise above 35%, and yet somehow you're half the Senate. Shh, don't anybody tell John Cornholio, but that's not democracy. And then, oh yes, then there's my junior senator, Shelley Moore Capito. She's never going to win any awards for oratory. But she said, we've got a lot of issues we should be focusing on besides censuring two members of Congress because they have a different opinion. I thought, free speech for everybody. Well, I mean, I find the phraseology interesting of that in that. Because apparently she does not share the opinion, and was not subtle about it, she does not share the opinion of, say, Adam Kinzinger and Liz Cheney that Nitwit Nero was involved in a vast conspiracy to overthrow constitutional governance in the United States. A conspiracy, the proof of which mounts up day by day by day. I mean, for God's sakes, when the federal government has to spend taxpayer dollars to zip down to Mar-a-Lardass to retrieve documents that Nitwit Nero and his cronies and hard cases and dead enders stole, it kind of says something about, particularly precious were the words of precious Senator Lindsey Graham, issuing a press release from beneath the fainting couch down at the family estate of Smoldering Chode. I think all of us up here want to talk about forward and not backward. We want to talk about why we should be in charge of the House and the Senate. And when you're not talking about that, that takes you in the wrong direction. Not exactly a stirring condemnation of the insurrection, was that? No. But the bottom line is they're trying for all they're worth to run as far as they can possibly get away from the January 6th insurrection. And they're really pissed at Ronald Romney, McDaniel, for putting the MAGA hats back on everybody. And making them, you know, squirm. Oh, let's see. Noted hog deballer, Senator Joni Ernst of Iowegia, said, I wish they wouldn't. I would leave it up to the states. My goodness, what profound statespersonship. Yeah.
Now, leave it up to the states.
And then there's, Kevin Kramer of North Dakota said, the RNC is out of their league, quite honestly. I mean, the beauty of the People's House, because he used to serve in it, is that it's the People's House. Unassailable logic, that. Every one of them have 2-year terms and roughly the same number of constituents, and any discipline, for the most part, belongs with the people who elect them. Which is another way of saying, well, okay. Don't get too all fired excited about, you know, condemning an attack on constitutional governance there, Kev. I hope somehow or another the for-profit media manages to make the Republican Party wear that legitimate political discourse all the way to November and beyond. Because, see, here's the thing. Those tepid, half-hearted denunciations, that's as good as me saying what I've been saying for what feels like eons now. Y'all, they're going to do it again. Sure they are. And by the way, note coming in from Joey today. Alabama's new congressional map takes us down the same old road. Junior with the lead off. Daddy, yesterday you said Billy Idol sang I Can't Drive 55. Actually, that was sung by Sammy Hagar.
I knew who actually sang that song. I just had to have a way of introducing an idol into the conversation, Junior. Besides, Joey's the one who always mixes up all the rock groups, such as Pat Benatar and Joan Jett, Lil Wayne and the Big Bopper, Percy Sledge and Sister Sledge, Snoop Dogg and Doja Cat, Glass Tiger and the Bangles. You get the idea. Speaking of Bangles, go Bangles. Oh, and I heard today that Hootapole, the legendary beer brewery in Cincinnati, has reissued their Hooday beer. But because aluminum cans are in somewhat short supply because of the pandemic, there won't be that much. And the minute they announced it, people started lining up around the block, I guess, at the brewery or wherever, to get the reissue of the famous Bengal striped cans of Hooday beer. Hootapole, Hooday, right? Yeah. So that'll be a big collector's item somewhere around here. I've got a couple of cans of beer that were given to me by one of my father's boyhood chums when we visited in the year that Elvis died. Visited them in St. Louis. Oh, well, neither here nor there. But anyway, on this day in 1915, Birth of a Nation by D.W. Griffith made its debut in Los Angeles.
Yes, and I know for a fact Billable Rick did not attend the debut of that disgusting racist film.
Based on a book called The Klansman, by the way, in which the Klansman was actually the hero. Got a story about a Klansman in the stacks this evening. Remind me later. That's correct, Jeffries. Billable was not even born back in 1915.
Yes, and it's too bad that film had a birth in this nation.
Truly disgusting. Oh, and what do you know? Here in Ohio, many libraries are eliminating the African-American section of the library, with the explanation being that if they mix the books in with the regular genre, more people will read them if they don't realize the author is African-American.
What?
Jeffrey calls bullshit.
No, what they're going to do is get rid of most African-American books and just hide a few in the general genres of books to make it look good. Shame on the Ohio libraries that are eliminating the African-American section from their bookshelves.
Taking African-American books off the bookshelves is a crime. The police should arrest the librarians and book them.
Good job, Junior.
I think that was a little half-hearted from Jeffrey, because he's jealous when he doesn't get the... pun cowbell. Speaking of books, Joey with a recommended read. A brand new book just out, written by Alice Faye Duncan. The book is entitled Evicted, The Struggle for the Right to Vote. In the late 1950s in Tennessee's Fayette County, not the Fayette County where I live, The majority of residents were black, working and living as sharecroppers on cotton farms owned by white landowners. Although it was lawful for all adults to vote, the all-white ruling class suppressed black voting participation through acts of terror, lynching, and more. When black landowners united to help black citizens vote, it came with a heavy price. White farmers evicted black sharecroppers off their land, and white sharecroppers and others refused to sell to blacks anything just because they wanted to vote. To remedy this unjust situation, Papa Tolles created a makeshift community on his land where people lived in tents called Tent City, and the eventual national publicity, along with a unified voice, led to the passage of the 1965 Voting Rights Act, ending voter discrimination, at least in theory. Or at least until a young fella with some thousand-yard stare, blue eyes, known as old Balls and Strikes John Roberts, could get around to killing it. At once appallingly sad, yet giving rise to hope, this true story of voter suppression, civil rights, social justice, an important piece of black history, evicted the struggle for the right to vote. Get it in a bookstore near you.
Yes, you can buy the book at most bookstores. You'll likely never, ever find it in most libraries in Ohio.
Great read on that one, Junior. My mother-in-law, Charlene, is in the hospital down in Florida, Jeffrey knows. You remember Charlene, who believes that all blacks are uppity and all alike. Well, Char, I hope you have a nice African-American doctor to care for you. Yesterday, the Akron Beacon Journal had an article on how they're going to do away with the highway that led from downtown Akron to the suburbs built back in the 60s and 70s because its usefulness has gone away. Well, when they originally built that highway, over 500 black residents lost their homes and nearly 75 African-American business owners lost their businesses. And Charlene, who is not our Charlene in Rogues Island, nor a member of the sorority of Leans, wonders why some black people are a little upset over the building of that highway. This has been Joey's Journal for the 8th day of February, 2022, with Giraffe for once wishing the highway was never built. There's a $10 Wreck the Road challenge on the table, which would get us down under $1,000 bucks. Get us down to $99 to go to finish funding for last Thursday. Thank you, Joey. Thank you, Jeffrey. Thank you, Junior. You're a good boy. So, where else? Speaking of which, you wouldn't think that wrestling on the college level, not the fake professional stuff where people get beaten with folding chairs and the like, but college wrestling, which is otherwise known as eating disorders for young men, Billable Rick's beloved alma mater, the University of Iowa, is looking into something that took place at a wrestling match it hosted on Saturday. Austin Gomez, a Badger from Wisconsin, was at the meet, and he said a fan there called him an ethnic slur. University of Iowa releasing a statement saying, "The Iowa Athletics Department was made aware of a situation that occurred on Saturday during our wrestling match at Carver Hawkeye Arena against the University of Wisconsin." They get real worked up about wrestling up there in the upper Big Ten. In the Big Ten generally. You might recall that Jim Jacketoff Jordan was an assistant coach in the wrestling department over at The Ohio State University. That's where he was when he turned a blind eye to a certain team doctor raping the living bejesus out of young men, allegedly. The release went on. One of Wisconsin's student athletes reported a fan in the stands yelling Iowa says racially insensitive remarks. I think they're ethnically insensitive. Because remember, no such thing as race. Directed at he and his family. Actually, really? University of Iowa? Directed at he? Oh, come on, y'all. Do better. Directed at his family and him.
The University of Iowa denounces any act of hatred and is committed to providing a safe and equitable environment. Iowa's Athletic Administration, but not so much to good English grammar. Iowa's Athletic Administration has reached out. That was just me funning around. Iowa's Athletic Administration has reached out to Wisconsin and the student athlete to apologize for the incident and to let them know we're following up on this matter. Any individual found in violation of our fan behavior policy is subject to being banned from attending future Hawkeye athletic events. Gosh darn it. Frances Gomez is the mama of Austin Gomez. And she said her son was had a slur used against him. It's disgusting. In a tweet, she said, "Sometimes wrestling goes to the next level. As my son walks out, an Iowa fan calls him a," and it's a word that begins with S. "As a mom, this is terrible. I guess maybe the Iowegians were mad because he had transferred," Austin Gomez had, "from Iowa State," arch rival and nemesis of Iowa, "to Wisconsin, transferred out of one conference and into another." So he said, "That's where I take a stand and won't let people walk all over me or my family. My mother and my 16-year-old sister were sitting right behind the Wisconsin bench. They explained to me that they were getting cussed at the whole time as well. Probably because young Mr. Gomez won his match 3-2 over the ironically named Vince Turk at 149 pounds. In that weight class on this past Saturday. The Hawkeyes won the overall duel 29-6. And I guess, you know, it's February, it's Iowa, and some of those corn-fed bigots it's in them and it's in the situation, and by golly, they're not going to be runned over. I'm sure that individual would be perfectly happy, say, at a Tennessee book burning. By the way, I feel a little bit prophetic. You remember when I ran the audio of the book burning down in Mount Juliet, Tennistan? I think that was Pastor Greg Locke. They were burning Harry Potter books and Twilight books and maybe some Casper the Friendly Ghost comic books. It turns out, and a couple of people have hit me to this. I think it's, well, when I was playing the class, I said, you know, what would these idiots do if somebody walked up and said, "There goes the Bible"? You know, would Pastor Greg Locke? No. Well, that happened. I didn't realize it at the time, but somebody had gone up and thrown a Bible on the flames and said, "I'm setting fire to the Bible. We're going to burn books." And you know what Pastor Greg Locke didn't do? Pastor Greg Locke did not run into the flames to retrieve his holy book. How about that? And like I said, I didn't know it had happened. But it did, and something in me just sort of sensed a disturbance in the force. Oh, and with more people jumping ship from Spotify, it's a spotty little podcast platform. A new Titanic intellect emerges. You probably don't pay much attention to him, but Russell Brand, who was married for about 17.28935 seconds to Katy Perry. Russell Brand has decided to jump in on the side of Joe Rogaine. he's gotten about 3 million views out of some dumbass video in which he upbraids one Brian Stelter, who has gone back and forth with Pink Shrek over the years, or at least a couple of times. Brian Stelter, having pointed out that you know, CNN and other major network outlets have staff dedicated to trying to get issues right relative to COVID-19. And Russell Brand somehow or another thought that this was fodder for some high comedy. Ooh, you betcha.
CNN are saying that Joe Rogan is the reason that we have all this misinformation and even the reason that we don't trust mainstream media. But could another version of the truth be that while Joe Rogan is sort of doing a podcast, the mainstream media is slyly pushing us towards war? Welcome, you 4.8 million awakening wonders. Here we are together.
Yeah, let's take a powder on that. See, somehow or another, he has equated trying to stop the spread of deadly disinformation with, I guess, I'm really having a hard time following what passes for logic in the thin gray settlings that slosh around betwixt Russell Brand's ears and pass for brains. You know, Brian Stelter, and this is not the Brian Stelter Appreciation Hour by any stretch of the imagination, as far as I'm concerned, he's just another member of the multimillionaire for-profit media. But he said, not all opinions are created equal. You think about major newsrooms like CNN that have health departments and desks and operations that work hard on verifying information on COVID-19. And because figures like Rogan are trusted by people that don't trust real newsrooms, we have tension, a problem that's much bigger than Spotify, much bigger than any single platform. But that's what's the heart of this right now. And somehow this titanic intellect, Russell Brand, said that... Now listen here, Sonny Jim. You're not only making people not trust you, you're making them not trust me. And why don't people trust me? They trust Rogan, but I'm perfectly trustworthy. Look how loose my tie knot is. John Cleese, this guy ain't. Joe Rogan's irresponsible. He took horse maggot medicine the other day. Now tell me, sir, and don't tell me anything other than this. Should there be a war? I'm as concerned as anybody about what's going on the Ukrainian border. I think there are games within games within games being played. And, you know, the for-profit media can't resist. Wars and rumors of wars, as the Bible in the King James Version describes it, are, well, they're catnip to the for-profit media. They get to haul out the martial the bumper music, dum 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 dum, the run-up to war, dum 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 dum, brought to you by Rachakoff from Merck. It's good money. It's capitalism run amok inside journalism. But it's not new. And Russell Brand is not exactly edgy for this. But the fact of the matter is, it's not a good look to line up alongside Pink Shrek these days. And it's getting to the point where Joe Rogaine actually can't be quite as silent as he would like to be.
Oh, if there's anything I've done that I could do better, that's to have more experts with differing opinions right after I have the controversial ones. I'd most certainly be open to doing that, Rogaine said.
See, the light still hasn't gone on. It might be somewhat, it would be entertaining for us. It'd be really funny to sit there and watch some guy who thinks you can that you can beat a COVID fever by putting onions in your socks.
Right, in those days, we wore onions hung from our belts, as was the fashion in that time.
But it's only entertaining to people who know that that's absolute madness. Meanwhile, the kind of people who watch Joe Rogan are out there creating a run on onions.
Hey, he said, well, you got to help me find somebody. You got to help me find somebody to, you pick these onions, you pluck them.
That's an actual quote from the former president of the United States, George W. Bush, in case you've forgotten. But Joe Rogaine says, I'd like to talk to some people that have differing opinions on those podcasts in the future. We'll see. I do all the scheduling myself. I don't always get it right. These podcasts are very strange because they're just conversations.
Just asking questions. There it is. He admits it himself. Just jacking off. JAQing.
Oftentimes, I have no idea what I'm going to talk about until I sit down and talk to people, and that's why some of my ideas are not that prepared or fleshed out, because I'm literally having them in real time, but I do my best. I mean, they only gave me $100 million.
Okay, I added that part.
Well, they're just conversations, and I think that's also the appeal of the show. It's one of the things that makes it interesting. I have people on the program with batshit crazy ideas, and I make them sound like that they're legitimate, and I elevate them on the platform, and there we are. Then the next thing you know, people are outside eating dirt and drinking pee. And, putting a little rub of horse paste between their cheek and gum. Tastes like green apple. It ain't that bad. I tried it.
But that's, that remains the Pink Shrek problem. It's not just the bullshit disinformation from a wackadoodle pseudoscientist about a pandemic that before too awfully long will have killed 1 million Americans. We crossed the 900,000 mark recently. 900,000 dead in less than 2 years' time. We'll be 2 years in March, officially. We've had that conversation, too. 1 million people, 900,000 people dead in 2 years. That didn't happen in the Second World War. Didn't happen in the Civil War. Didn't happen in any of the wars the United States has ever waged. But it did happen when an illegitimate president, a very small mind and not the good kind like Winnie the Pooh had, past tense, has. It's a cartoon character. There's no past or present. He's just Winnie. But anyway, when he downplayed the information, because he was afraid it would affect his chances for re-election. When in fact, if he had responded appropriately, Joe Biden never would have had a chance. But again, it's not just the wackadoodle scientists, pseudoscientists. It's also the time after time after time after time that Joe Rogan has felt so privileged as to use that word unironically, certainly not comedically. I don't know that there's a way to use it comedically. Especially if you're Joe Rogaine. And he's he's tried to excuse himself out of that too, because when when India Ari shared the video, I think from Patriot Takes, of Joe Rogaine using that word time after time after time after time on his show. Well, Joe Rogaine said, "Well, it's the most regretful and shameful thing that I've ever had to talk about publicly." The clips, and then of course the escape tunnel of all rapscallions and scoundrels. Oh, those clips were taken out of context. I haven't said that word in years. Actually, he said, "I haven't said and used the word in years." But it's not just those things. It's all the other wackadoodles that he allows on his program. Gavin McInnes? Anybody? Anybody remember Gavin McInnes? The founder of the Proud Boys? A gang of bully boy brown shirts who have lived to beat the hell out of people that they disagree with? He was right there on the Joe Rogaine Experience, being legitimized and being fully platformed. Ben Shapiro, who says that somebody like me doesn't even deserve the courtesy of a goddamn pronoun. I got sirred in a store today, which is kind of the opposite of one's pronouns. I was in Kohl's, that Wisconsin firm. And a young woman came around me, walked around me, said, "Excuse me, sir. I promise you there was nothing about me that said, sir. And I work really hard. I give myself a break when I'm doing the program here. But I was even using my speech therapy. And maybe it's still my height. I don't know. But Pink Shrek gave his platform and his 11 million listeners per week to a little neo-maxi Zoom dweeby, Ben Shapiro, who basically says I'm not entitled to basic human dignity. And it goes on and on and on from there. Bernie Sanders did show up on the Joe Rogaine Experience once, and Bernie caught a lot of shit for it because Joe Rogaine's been a problem for a long time, and a lot of people pointed that out during the 2020 campaign. That Joe Rogaine is not somewhere a politician wants to go, not one that wants the votes of marginalized people or I don't know, decent people. Has Joe Rogaine had the asshole on yet who started the trucker nonsense up in Canada? I would be surprised if he hasn't. So, I guess that will continue to bedevil us. And I'm so relieved. I'm relieved that that Russell Brand, who, I don't know, maybe he wants to be the unshorn Joe Rogaine of the UK. I don't know. The Canada thing, the blockade, God bless Canada. They can't do anything about all the spread neck, COVIDiot, mask hole truckers there in the capital city, because they simply do not have access to tow trucks to haul the damn things away. And so people trying to live their lives in Ottawa can't because the
because the maggot spread neck COVIDiot mask hole truckers. Are aggrieved by the idea that they might actually have to get a vaccine that would save their lives. And, of course, they call it the Freedom Truck Convoy. And just like their opposites on January 6, 2021, they've been desecrating things, war memorials to the Canadians who have died in various conflicts. They've been setting off fireworks. People can't sleep downtown who live in the downtown area. The premier of Ontario calls it an occupation. As of yesterday, the mayor of the city of Ottawa has declared a state of emergency. And as Arwa Madawi pointed out at The Guardian, the people protesting against vaccine mandates, it can't be stressed enough, are by no means representative of the Canadian haulage industry as a whole. They're just 10% of cross-border drivers who, that's 10% who have refused a vaccine. That, according to the Canadian Trucking Alliance. And as of the 15th of January, they can't cross back into Canada without quarantine. And the Canadian Trucking Alliance and a number of other organizations have all disavowed this maggoty protest. 84% of the Canadian population is vaccinated, children included. But the problem is they are noisy and determined and most of all, well-funded. And so they've got huge amounts of money. Unions that would like to have a strike fund that could support their workers while they go out on strike for any number of reasons, like, you know, decent wages and the like, would dearly love to have a strike fund like the monies that have been pouring in to these people determined to spread a deadly pandemic. The author of this piece says, get this. In the long run up to the 2020 U.S. elections, Facebook's most popular pages for Christian and Black American content were being run by Eastern European troll farms. According to an internal Facebook report written in late 2019 and leaked to MIT Technology Review, troll farms were reaching 140 million users every month. Three-quarters of these users had never followed any of the pages. They'd had the content thrust upon them by Facebook's engagement-hungry content recommendation system. The author of the report, a former senior-level data scientist at Facebook, said, "Our platform has given the largest voice in the African-American community to a handful of bad actors who, based on their media production practices, have never had an interaction with an African-American. Instead of users choosing to receive content from these actors, it is our platform that is choosing to give these troll farms an enormous reach." Somehow this doesn't feel like a boating accident now, does it? Not in the least. I had a note from our buddy Reverbo, who said earlier today, you know, the more I think of it, the fact that wealth rules the world was inevitable. Connections get made, markets and scarcity are controlled and manipulated, and all efforts to democratize this model are resisted. How could it be any other way other than Marx, and that was a failure? I guess it's all about education and how we prioritize knowledge and critical thinking. We ended up with brainless, exploitable voters, the haves and the have-nots. How else was it going to go? And yeah, Reverbo, it looks kind of inevitable, doesn't it? so old I can remember when the talk of the internet was that it was going to be the and I remember Al Gore talking about the information superhighway. Got busy on that pretty quick, didn't we? It's mostly just commerce now. And how did we not expect that the internet would become an engine of capitalism? Do you remember? Do you remember? I remember. I remember when silly people would say things like, you know what's going to happen? There's going to be, because of the freedom of free flow of information on the internet, we're going to have a blossoming of democracy. A blossoming. Blooming. How'd that blooming work out? That's what I thought. So, it's no surprise that these maggot truckers, and I'm sorry that if they had an opportunity, they would, yeah, you know, they would eagerly vote for COVID Caligula. And every kind of hard case and dead ender and crank has joined in, you know, let me be me free with maple leaves. Fight for maple leaf freedom. Farmers for freedom. Kind of reminds you of the Soviet ambassador in Dr. Strangelove saying, the fools, the mad fools. And just in case you're wondering, and probably aren't, but just in case you are, the Herman Cain Award is still quite the going concern. Over on Reddit, another one of those strangely un-right-wingy, trolly places on that platform. Now, let's check in real quick. Let's see. 10 hours ago, a Herman Cain awardee, a former Marine, aged 50, posted a meme of an eagle next to the red and white and blue of the American flag, and the banner around the meme said, "I have an immune system." Well, this free American eagle and former Marine, aged 50, had an immune system, but still died of COVID-19. He spent 2 months on a ventilator before collecting his award. He leaves behind a wife and 3 children. He had no prior health problems. And, of course, there's always the prayer warriors and the GoFundMe. And then there's Paul R. Oebel, O-E-B-E-L. He ran a grift called the Faith Unveiled Network. He was a froth in the, at the mouth, foaming, shrieking, hooting, barking, groaning, grunting anti-vaxxer. He spent 2 months in the intensive care unit. He posted things like, Canada is now removing restrictions because COVID was proven a hoax in court. And not to put too fine a point on it, but no, it wasn't. I have a legitimate question. He typed this back when he was not a Herman Cain Award winner. Paul R. Oebel. I have a legitimate question for those that are vaccinated. Have you considered why Congress, Biden's administration, post office that demands facial masks to this day, creators of the vaccine, employees of the vaccine maker companies, the CEOs of vaccination companies, CDC employees, illegal immigrants, are all exempt and or refuse to get the vaccination themselves? As a matter of fact, the CEO of these vaccine companies are not allowing their children to be vaccinated.
Not true. And what that is a repurposing of the old thing that is true, that a lot of upper level employees and executives from social media companies won't allow their kids on social media.
And are you aware the FDA voted 16-3 to not approve the Pfizer booster shot? Looking for your explanation and reasoning, and have you asked yourself why they're refusing it, especially the CEOs? Stop trusting your doctor. Do some research. Post after post after post. My wife and I pray daily for those that have been vaccinated.
Well, not anymore, because Paul R. Obel is deader than Pharaoh's cat, and I'm not celebrating it. It's just pathetic.
And then eventually comes along the post talking about his progress through the disease. God just got another angel. Paul Ray Obel got his wings and is rejoicing with God. And you will be missed. And until we meet again, RIP, love you, brother. Well, he wasn't rejoicing when he was on his belly horizontally crucified. But by all means, can we not loan some big tow trucks for tractor trailers? Can we not loan some of those to our dear friends in Canada, so that they can come and seize those tractor trailers in Ottawa and take them off and impound them and not let the truckers have them back? For a little while, at least. I don't know. Oh, Arthur says, it's not the Proud Boys, Robin. It's the Peanut Butter Boys. It's more derisive. I used to call them the Proud Aryan Boys, but I think the peanut butter actually works better. Yeah, but I like peanut butter. Ron and Raleigh said, did you hear your senior senator on a Sunday show with Lisa Murkowski talking about all the good work they've done together? Since you're closer to Smoking Joe, could you tell me some of the great things he and Senator Murkowski have accomplished? Joe also gave Senator Murkowski his endorsement. She gave him her endorsement as well. Back your pal, fuck party loyalty or constituent loyalty. Oh, I know. Basically, what they do together is anything that the hydrocarbon industry demands of them, and I do mean anything. It's really kind of embarrassing. I mean, and they've been pals, and I'm sure she's been to the houseboat, and he's probably been, caribou bow hunting or something in Alaska. And by the way, as we've just gotten to the second hour of the program, our buddy Frank in Iowa just dropped a note and said, that he would like to put forward a $200 challenge. So there are $210 of challenge money on the table. Frank and Joey and Giraffrian Jr. And that would mean we would, and what a magic number this is, 420. We would knock the fundraising goal down by 420.
That would mean that we would finish Thursday's fundraising, and we'd actually be finished with funding for last week, which is awesome. Because it would finish off Friday, too. And that's amazing. Thank you. And it would, I think it would knock out $20 worth of Monday. Thank you so much, Frank. Thank you. And, you know, it only works if we match the challenge. So, please don't let that go by. I knew it was going to be a busy Titanic Tuesday. Not that I search the web for it every day, but I don't often see references to the second gentleman. I think that's a lovely and elegant term for the husband of the Vice President of the United States. The second gentleman of the United States, Doug Emhoff, was doing some second gentleman stuff today. He was at Dunbar High School in Washington, D.C. He had gone there to meet with students who are participating in a program that helps them relate to history on a personal level for Black History Month, but he didn't get to stay. The second gentleman didn't. No. The Secret Service came along and hustled him out of the school. The vice president was not with him. But Enrique Gutierrez, press secretary for the D.C. Public Schools, said, quote, "It was an apparent bomb threat. It was a bomb threat. We're taking precautions, evacuating everybody. Seems like all the students are out and safe." U.S. Secret Service, and this according to a statement from his communications director, the second gentleman's communications director. U.S. Secret Service was made aware of a security threat at a school where the second gentleman was meeting with students and faculty. Mr. Emhoff is safe and the school has been evacuated. We are grateful to Secret Service and D.C. Police for their work. Yeah, you know what? I'm pretty sure that wasn't some wild-eyed leftist radical that called in the bomb threat. I feel almost entirely certain that it was not neither a member of Black Lives Matter or Antifa. No, just as the report created under the W. Bush administration said way back in 2008, it was probably the work of, right-wing domestic, homegrown domestic terrorists. Because it's who they are. It is, moreover, what they do. There's been another spate of bomb threats because we're living in a country where white grievance is running at a white, and I do mean white hot, fever pitch. And children can't even, in this America, children can't even enjoy a historic visit from the spouse of a member of the administration. Nope. Well, thank you. Thank you, Bernadette. Love you, too. Bills are paid up. I got $20 on it to get you started. Thank you. And thank you to Christopher. Christopher jumped in on the challenges, too. Been some thin times, Christopher said. But getting there. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so much. So, Joe Injuraffrey's challenge is met, and we are $20 into Frank's $200 challenge. So, there's $180 to go on that. Thank you to Bernadette. Thank you, Christopher. Thank you so much. Let's run over to the stress line, see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello, Robin.
Hello.
Hello. Do you have me?
Yes.
Can you? Okay. Well, I want you to hop in your car and drive straight up 79 north.
So who am I talking
that's
to?
Where from? I'm calling from.
Okay. Who am I talking to?
My name is Kent.
Hi, Kent.
My name is Ken.
Oh, hey, Ken.
I have called before. I think I almost died the last time I called.
Why was that?
I'm extremely nervous.
Oh, you're fine. You're fine. You're doing fine. We've actually had people try to die on this program, but they did not die. So you're good.
Right. Right. Well, I think maybe the last time I called was when Mr. Stress had his episode.
Oh, that would be a while back then. Yeah.
Ear stroke. So it was a while. I've been a long-time listener, almost or third-time caller, I guess. I really enjoyed the family that we've built, Robin. I haven't missed a show ever since I started listening, which I'm not even sure of. Probably towards the end of the Bush administration.
Oh, my God.
Trump administration, I should say.
That's a lot.
So, yeah.
And so you're straight up 79?
Yeah. Yep. And that's the terminus of I-79. That's about where I live.
Okay. I know where that is. I have driven the entirety of I-79 from where it begins to where it ends in Charleston or vice versa.
It's beautiful in its own right. We don't have mountains, but we got a great lake.
Yeah, it's a big one.
You know, fresh water is going to be a resource that we're going to run out of, right? Because the capitalists are intent on raping the planet until there's nothing left.
Whatever they can get their hands on, they're going to put a price tag on.
Sorry to say it that way, but you know, that's the way I feel.
Well, that's how it does feel, isn't it?
It does. And I can't believe you talk about mountaintop removal. What a barbaric practice. What the fuck are we doing?
Well, you might get, Ken, you might get a kick out of this because having announced my candidacy, I've started.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I'm running for House of Delegates, you know. And
in the state house.
Yeah, I received a questionnaire from the United Mine Workers, and I filled it out. I called Boss Man Wayne, got his input on it. He's kind of my guru on these things.
Right.
And I said, man, there's a question on here about mountaintop removal, and he said, tell him the truth.
For sure.
And I did. They said, what is your opinion on mountaintop mining? And I said, pardon me. I said, mountaintop removal is the single greatest cause of the loss of union mining jobs in this state in the last 40 years. This is absolutely true.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I said the
devastating increase in the most pernicious forms of black lung is happening among people who work on mountaintop removal sites. And I said, on top of it all, it poisons communities and has, you know, blown up 500 plus mountains and buried 2,000 miles of streams. Now, the funny thing, though, Ken, is that in saying all that, all I was doing was writing down facts. There was not an opinion in there. Those were just facts. But
yeah.
As a candidate goes, compared to the incumbent who's in office right now, I'm their dream candidate. I absolutely support the rights of working people to organize and form unions. I believe in a West Virginia. Correct. I believe in a West Virginia future where we actually go about the business of correcting the things that billionaires have done to this state, and we use, you know, I don't know, I call it an Appalachian Marshall Plan, where we use federal dollars to come in and clean up the messes they've made. We've got project labor agreements with the unions. We've got it's federally administered, so we've got Davis-Bacon Act wage protections,
prevailing wage. And it would be the biggest single growth element that organized labor has seen in this state since God was a baby.
For sure. But I don't know. Pardon me for getting cynical. Like, well, the Green New Deal is not a thing. I wish it would be. But Build Back Better, I mean, for fuck's sake, what are we doing? We're like, ever fiddling while the planet burns. Right? I know how much you are on the classical Caesar's stuff.
Oh, no. I agree with you, Ken, because the problem was, at least from where I stand, the Green New Deal was a title.
Yes.
It wasn't.
It's an idea. It's not a legislative. It's not a thing.
Yeah. It needed to have meat on its bones.
Okay. Right. I was going to say, I never miss one of your programs. You lull me to sleep so many nights.
Oh, no.
And
you're another person.
Oh, yeah.
You're another person I'm putting to sleep.
But I never miss it. I wake up and I listen to the rest of it or see what I missed because I can't miss it with, Scott in San Diego. I mean, there's too many people in name, you know, I love you all. And, I want to meet Frank's challenge tonight.
Oh,
or not meet it. I'm sorry. I want to give $100.
Well, bless your heart. Okay.
I was going to make a challenge. My mom died like a month ago.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
So in honor of her, I would like to put $100 towards Frank's challenge.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's
I was
so
gonna
kind.
Make it 88, and I was trying to make it round up 88, and you know, 88 is, you know, Kyle Hitler stuff, so I didn't really want to do that either.
I can see where that might slow you down. The minute you said 88, I was no.
Yeah.
Is that how old?
That was her age. So no, let's not do that. Let's round it up to 100, and you know, I'll meet that. I'll figure out, plug in my credit card, after this call.
Well, that's awesome. That means that takes Frank's challenge down to $55 because, Kevin just jumped in from up in Massachusetts. Thank you, Kevin. And Ken, that's just so sweet and so kind. And I'm sorry for the sadness that occasions it. Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm okay. Probably drink too much, but, you know, nothing either here or there. And I got some nice buds, so I'm okay, I think. I don't know.
In times of trauma and stress, you know, there's a term out there for drinking too much in those situations, and it's called self-medication. It may not be the best idea in the long term, but sometimes medicine is medicine. And I'm not trying to discount or anything like that, but you know, you just take care of you.
Right.
And
well, I'm not going to do anything stupid like go out and drive, you know.
That's a lovely idea. That's a lovely thing not to do, Ken.
Right. For sure.
But that's wonderful, and it's so kind of you to remember your mom that way. Let me ask, was she from that same area too? I mean, is that where you and your family are from?
Yes. Yeah. So the last few years, I had to come back and I got divorced and back to take care of my parents. I've been here for quite a while, so. I met with a lawyer on Friday, so probate. I'm sitting pretty good. Well, what makes it worse, I hate to make this call sound really tragic. I lost a brother, a year and a half ago from pancreatic cancer.
Oh, God.
Which was probably worse to me because we were really close. And yeah, wow, that one. That's harder than, you know, what I'm dealing with now. So.
Oh, for any number of reasons. I mean, and I'm not trying to sound, you know, hopefully your mom lived a long and rich life.
She did. My dad had a good union job with a, not an organizer, a union, like a representative, what do they call him?
Oh, steward. Yeah, like a shop steward?
Steward for a while. I mean, And he's like, he got fed up with doing that because people complain about they got a hangnail from a machine or something, you know? Idiots. But I forgot where I was going with that.
That's okay.
I have so many things to say. I'm like, oh, I'm all wound up.
Well, you know, here's one thing to bear in mind, Ken. You don't have to say them all at once. I mean, you can call the program. You can call the program anytime you want to. You know, you've heard me talk about our dear sister Jude in the Great Northwest. She just sent me a note. Said, subject line: Ken. In the midst of his loss, hearing from him lifts us up. A new voice has entered the community. Anything I can do, please just ask. And I know, knowing Jude, I know that she will. She will literally lift you up in her devotions. She's just so kind and so wonderful and so generous in that way.
Right. You mentioned Jude. That made me think of Todd. And I used to watch Washington Journal, too. yeah.
Sorry,
I have to give it up because, I know, that's funny. It is funny. I meant it to be funny.
I had to give it up.
I am my
Wait a minute. You get a cowbell for that. I used to watch Washington All Journal. Right. I had to give it up. I couldn't drink that early in the morning.
You're right. Right. Early in the morning, you have me a coffee, and you just wake up, and this is on some racist says something, you know, racist. And I'm like, Jesus Christ, how do you start the day like that?
Can you imagine working there?
No. Pedro, or Steve Scully's from this area too.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. So there's that. Interesting times, I guess.
Without a doubt. People are loving hearing from you, Ken. Ralph's just jumped in alongside you and your mom. And so we're 45 bucks from done with Frank's challenge. It one of the things, and you know, you're dealing with a lot of emotional effect right now, and you know, it's one of those things where this little community, I mean, just take a minute and compare this to the, you know, the dude bros who listen to Joe Rogan. This kind of humanity doesn't happen over on that spotty platform. It doesn't happen there. Because it's hard to sell soap or pharmaceuticals or whatever it is they're selling over there with this much genuine humanity.
Right. Yes. No, that's so gross. The whole Rogaine thing. And I listen to you. I found you because of Mike. And then I've listened to Amp Cedar's show for 20 years. So I'm going to give a shout out to Scott because the old DJ mind. So I'm going to change subjects on you. The old DJ mind. I know there's a rift in the community about Steely Dan, and I shouldn't bring it up, but I love Steely Dan.
Oh, same.
I don't know the words. I don't know the words as much, but I know the drum parts because I can play drums.
Oh, you're a drummer?
So, yes. Yeah. So, I mean, when I steal a jam, I just love that kind of groove, that, you know, mellow playing in the pocket.
I know
what a pocket is.
I don't know if you've seen it, but there's a bunch of videos out on YouTube where they'll pull out, you know, like the bass line from, say, Josie, or, you know, and they'll go meticulously through that, how that track got produced. I love that stuff.
Yeah, me too. But I didn't mean to start riffing, because I know not everybody's a fan, but if you're truly a fan and you just love it, well, you kind of disregard somebody else's feelings about the subject. So there's that.
No, you're good. You're good. There's, as far as I'm concerned, I mean, I'm going to be on the road a week from today, and I can just about guarantee you.
Oh, really?
Yeah, there will be no small amount of Steely Dan playing, because it's just great road music.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I like it. And then there's the food porn. Like, oh my gosh, Robin, you've taught me so much. Like, I don't have a smoker, but just the cooking shows, the ideas, the get creative. Like, I stuck to recipes pretty close, but then I opened up to, you know, try different things. Maybe add a little bit of this or less of that. And so, and I appreciate that so much, too, about this community.
Well, you know what you should do, if you feel up to it? You need to pop in on the front porch sometime on a Friday.
I don't feel comfortable quite yet, but
you'll get there. Yeah. See, this is how it goes. I just got a note. I just got a note from Jeremy in Vermont. Subject line: Ken, I was rooting for you till the Dan entered the conversation. Now I'm questioning my judgment. And he says, LOL, peace, Ken.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jeremy.
And of course, that's been a long running disagreement between Annette and me over the years. John Prine, Steely Dan, and Little Feet. I know, and I just
I like so many different styles of music. I mean, we can talk about that for hours, and I'm not going to get in the way and about music.
What are your feelings about the Happy Goodman family? You were talking about Scott, and I just remembered that from a couple of weeks ago. Pound for pound, the best gospel singer in America. Oh, that was so good that night.
Yeah, so and bring it back to radio. It's fascinating how you know radio has changed. And we can talk about Scott and what you had to do, you know, with carts, and now it's changed to podcasts and streaming. And video, I don't think you've done video yet.
No. The studio's just not too accommodating.
To me, it's theater of the mind anyway. Because, I mean, I don't really need to, I can listen to radio. I can be doing other things.
Right. So and you can let it happen in your head.
Right. Right, so I listen and, you know, get some work done and learn stuff on the way, maybe by osmosis. Maybe I forget it. Who knows? Can't hurt.
Yeah, but then it pops up later, so.
Right.
That's where the magic is.
Right.
But you mentioned radio. I said at the top of the program, you know, remind me. Because I was listening to NPR over the weekend. I was out running errands. And somebody, it never works out well. I should know better.
Right.
But one of these people were talking about how, I don't see why the FCC can't come in and regulate podcasts just like they do broadcast media. I got the distinct idea that she was really jealous that she couldn't say the F-bomb on public radio.
Oh, right. or the N-word, maybe.
No, God, please, not that.
I don't know, but...
Well, no, I mean, Joe Rogan uses it, that's for sure.
Yeah, well, yeah, but I don't care.
But it's kind of weird the way that it's kind of weird the way that Joe Rogan has sort of put a spotlight on this thing that I've been doing for almost two decades. And the idea, really, NPR is out there and has somebody saying that it'd be a good thing to make sure that there was I don't need a watchdog. I try to get stuff right, and when we get it wrong, I say we got it wrong. But that's right. They misunderstand the fundamental problem here. It is that Joe Rogan is Joe Rogan because he's creating a product for sale. The purpose,
controversy for consciousness' sake. For controversy's sake,
right?
All it clicks.
Yeah, just asking questions.
Yeah, baloney. It's not a valid question. It's ridiculous.
Well, how is it that the only people that seems like show up on his program are, you know, right wing edge lords with right wing edge lord opinions? I mean, is that just me?
No.
Because that's sort of what it seems
like.
It's
a trend. There's like Jimmy Dore. There's unfortunately with Mr. Kennedy. Yeah. It's sad. It's sad. It's really sad. What great work he was doing for, you know, humanity.
Apparently it was just a gig. Being fairly closely associated with one of his gigs, I can tell you it leaves you with a sense of having been thoroughly and completely used.
Right. Yeah.
I know.
It's like you're in the service of the Emperor from Star Wars or Star Trek. We can talk about that all day too.
I'm always game for that.
Call 2 hours, but you guys are way more stuff than I do. But
well, it's because we've got the whole collective horn hive mind going here. If I don't know it, I don't remember it, somebody else will.
My favorite Star Trek one was they had the little critters that looked like pancakes and that stuck to the like Spock's face.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do you remember that? Well, actually, it looked like more like a fruit roll-up. And I did that in class one day. I did that in Spanish class. I took a fruit roll-up and stuck it in my face and, you know, pretended like it was, you know, sucking my blood out of my face.
All right, Ken, off to the principal's office. You know better than to do that. See you tomorrow.
No, I didn't get in that much trouble.
I remember a meme that was out there a couple of years back, and the first time I saw it and showed it to Annette, we didn't stop laughing for a day. It was a picture of a dog with a piece of ham, you know, like, you know, luncheon meat ham on his face.
Okay.
And the caption said, "My dad fell for this. He said, I need to send some money so this dog can get badly needed veterinary care from the horrible burn it's had on its face." It was literally a piece of chip chop ham with two holes in it for the eyes that they'd laid across the dog's face. And I don't know where that is, but my God.
They're ridiculous. Wow, Robin. Well, even all over the map, I'm going to let's try for something different. How's your transition going?
It's going so very well, and thank you for asking. Like I said, today was shot day, and today's 13 weeks post-op, and I'm just
I'm so very, very excited.
Wow.
It's just so nice. It's so nice to be authentic. You might get a kick out of this. I heard a little gossip recently, and I'm not repeating gossip, except I'm repeating gossip. Oh, there's the picture of the dog with the ham on his face. Yeah, it's still funny. But no, I heard a little scuttlebutt. You know, since I filed to run for House of Delegates, someone overheard a conversation taking place, and it got around to the district that I'm running in. I said, "Well, who's running for the Democratic nomination?" And a guy piped up and gave, you know, there's another person in this primary, and gave his name, and then said, "And some queer." That would be me.
Yeah, man.
That would be me. And I resist the urge to say. I resist the urge to think it would have been so nice if. Oh, don't apologize. It would have been fun to kind of, you know, it's like, oh, do say that to my face, please.
Right. Like this suspiciously large female is gonna, you know.
Yeah, the suspiciously large woman has suspiciously large feet.
Right. That's wonderful. Yeah, actually, a trans person called in to Sam's show today.
Oh, yeah?
It was beautiful, and she was, a post-op, maybe a little bit farther along than you, but it was a beautiful call. But I was weird. I don't want to say that I was like shocked when, you know, I found out, but I was like, I don't know. What do we, not who cares, but we care. Well, that's great. I can imagine that the dysphoria, I can imagine, well, like a genetics class. I took a genetics class in college, and the paper I wrote had gender dysphoria as a symptom, I guess, for lack of a better word, and trans or anomalies who have both sexual organs.
Oh yeah, intersex people.
Yeah,
that happens.
Right. So and you can imagine there's a scale of things. It's the chemicals in your body, you know, that's a scale. It's not a either or.
Right. It's a continuum.
Right. Same as everything else. Same as left and right. And it seems left has turned, made full circle to the right.
Many ways, yeah. I mean, I'm one of those people that had pencil put repeatedly in my right hand because my natural inclination was to pick it up with my left. And they kept at it until I became right-handed. But if for instance, if I ever get around a pool table with Billable Rick, he'll notice something right away. I shoot pool left-handed.
Well, don't put any money on the table with Rick because he's a lawyer, you know.
No, Rick's.
Rick, you can't trust them types.
Rick's a shark. Yeah.
I know. I'm messing around.
Yeah, I throw a frisbee left-handed. First time I ever went to shoot a rifle, I tried to shoot it left-handed. First time I ever picked up a guitar, left-handed. So I think there's a good bit of that in me. So who knows? But in the final, and it applies to everybody. Just be yourself.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, right. Unfortunately, the trans community is small enough that we are small enough to be picked on. It took the Republicans a little while because sometimes they're just otne ute itbre if you own a what I ain may. But they finally learned to sort of lay off a little bit of the LGB and Q part of the community because they got their asses handed to them. But you know,
maybe 1% of the country's trans, so you can beat on us, and especially beat on the kids. Oh, golly, there's nothing that makes me want to fire up Lee Greenwood singing God Bless the USA like watching a bunch of God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, amosexual, Christian Republicans beating up on trans kids. I mean, that just says freedom, you know?
Yeah, freedom. I don't know. I hate to take up too much of my time hating these people, but it's hard not to.
Well, at least, Ken, you are in a state where you can get excited about a candidate, at least one. And I don't know. I don't know if you share my.
Is that Dr. Oz?
You? Yeah. No. No, I was thinking more about the guy that I hope beats him in November. Or
Fetterman?
Yeah, Fetterman.
Yeah.
He seems like a pretty genuine article.
It seems like it. Well, let's hope it's true. And then, I mean, what?
I'm sorry. He's turned into a fundraising machine, so that's awesome.
Yeah.
You know, I have this little mental image of him staring down Joe Manchin. I just want to see that.
Oh man. I'd spit in Joe Manchin's face. I would.
Virtually everybody in government in the state makes it hard to feel good about it.
Yeah. Right. Timmy's retiring, so that's good.
But if I was up there where you are, I would sure enough have me a Fetterman button or a Fetterman sticker or Fetterman T-shirt or Fetterman something, because that would be huge if we can put that Senate seat in Pennsylvania in Democratic hands. Because the whole goal is not to just knuckle under and say, "Well, I guess the Republicans are going to get it." No, fight like your life depends on it, because it does.
There ain't no give it. It does.
And if we could pick up Fetterman and Tim Ryan in Ohio, and pick up Wisconsin, maybe pick up Iowa. I mean, the next thing you know, it doesn't matter that Joe Manchin is endorsing Lisa Murkowski or vice versa, because he and she will both be irrelevant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, in a way, that should be a 2022 Democratic Senate bumper sticker. Irrelevance 2022.
Oh,
make them irrelevant.
There you go. From your lips to God's third.
The Flying Spaghetti Monster's ear? Yeah.
Yeah, Flying Spaghetti, or the Prince of... The Goddess of Irony. There we go.
Yeah, to the Goddess of Irony's ear. Perfect.
Right.
Yeah, and right. Talk about handedness.
I need another rubber chicken.
I catch them on sale every now and then, and I buy them by the crate when I do. We go through a lot.
I know. I haven't seen them.
I worry a little bit about the carbon pollution, but,
supply chain issue. I don't know.
Exactly. By the way, Suman just wrote in from Arizona, Ken, and said, "Lefty, my daughter's left-handed. When she was a little kid, she threw the pencil at my face when we put it in her right hand. Since then, we never tried that again." In more good news, she's not called anyone else a maggot recently. I love that. It was a few months. "Daddy, is that a maggot?" And Scary Jerry wrote in and said, "I'm left-handed when I cycle. Can last for weeks. My accent changes, too. Pre-show me and my Trump-loving neighbor listen to ZZ Top, Def Leppard, Rush, and the Rolling Stones for the dead drummers. Long live the drummers. Horn collar dude, meaning you, can drum more, drink less, much love." And that's from Scary Jerry.
No, thanks, Scary Jerry. He just called yesterday, I believe.
Yeah.
But I tried to call yesterday. So I did finally get in, so that's cool.
Well, yay!
I'm surprisingly relaxed. I am very surprisingly relaxed. I'm happy that I made the call.
I'm glad you did too. And it gets easier, doesn't it?
It does. I think so. I believe it's true. The scary word, believe.
I know. But
I was raised Catholic, so I'm a Mary worshiper, I guess. I don't know. No, it's not.
Oh, God, I'm going back down to the land of the Baptists. Oh, well. But they're not nearly as scary as the Church of Christ. Oh, well.
No, for sure. I know. I've seen some of that in my family. They went to the Assembly of God church. Like, yeah, it was weird. They somebody had married somebody. They didn't take medical treatment, and she had cancer. And, like, she died. They could have prevented it. That's sick. What's wrong with you? You know, like, with the anti-vax, they're not doctors. I'm sorry, don't go to the hospital for anything. Don't get health care. Good. The rest of us can have health care. You don't want it because you don't trust the doctor to get a little fucking shot in your arm. Grow up. What is... Jesus, I'm flabbergasted. I can't believe what this country has turned into.
Yeah, the last 2 years
of Reaganism.
The last 2 years, and I guess 40. It's just a natural outgrowth of who and what we are, what we were all along, but the last 2 years have sort of pulled the mask off who we thought we were.
Yeah, it did. Absolutely did. I'm ashamed. I'm afraid to call myself an American. You people are fucking babies. What is going on?
Well, I stand by my assertion, Ken. They would have these anti-maskers, spreadnecks, they would have surrendered to the Third Reich and the Empire of Japan in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm. For sure, they're the brown shirts. It's the same thing. It's history repeating itself, isn't it?
I mean, Tokyo.
We're the only ones that see it, but
Tokyo Rose and Lord Ha Ha had nothing on Joe Rogaine and Tucker Carlson and
Tokyo Rose.
Yeah, that was perfect, wasn't it? Yeah,
Tokyo Rose. Yeah, right. That's not funny. It's me laughing because I'm like so pissed. Like, I didn't know how to respond. You're like, do I hide under my bed? No, we can't do that. I'm going to fight. Am I Antifa? No, because I'm a little guy. I know you're pretty suspiciously large female. And I'm a little guy. I'm only 5'4", so like, I can't hold my own in a fight. So, my dad didn't teach me good enough because he boxed in the Navy. But anyway, I don't even know where I was going with that story. I went to sideways somewhere.
No worries.
You kind of get it, right?
Absolutely. Well, Ken, listen, you take care of yourself, will you? Be good to yourself, and don't let it be like years before the next call, okay?
Right. And, okay, I think we can do that.
Yeah, I mean, when the phone rings, I take the calls when I can get, when there's not somebody on there. And you are welcome anytime.
Okay, all right. Anytime. Well, I appreciate it. And much love to you and the whole community that we built. I really appreciate tonight. It's been a great experience for me. And I will hop on, grab my credit card and hop on to support the Head On Live. We need the support, people.
Thank you, Ken. It's the only way it keeps going. Thank you so much. Thank you for answering Frank's challenge, yeah. and I hope everybody will take a moment for a warm and loving thought for your mama.
Okay, great.
All right, take care, Ken.
Goodbye.
Stay warm. Bye now. What a wonderful moment. Thank you, Ken. That was, sometimes you just get these moments that are testaments to the power of community. And this is definitely one of them. Thank you.
And so, $45 to go on Frank's challenge. That's amazing. And let's see, like I said, when we're done, that would take us from, let's see, down to $9.99, down to $5.99, which is yesterday and today to fund. Thank you. Jack in Shreveport said simply, Scientologists. Well, I didn't know Scientologists, you know, the Jehovah's Witnesses don't do blood transfusions. The Christian Scientists put an onion in their socks. I don't know. I'm sorry, that onion in the sock thing. I heard that earlier today, and I was like, really? But, yeah. And I keep having to add stuff to the things that I do when I run out in the yard when I've been driven half mad. You know, it used to be just go out and eat dirt and run rabbits. That became eat dirt, drink pee, and run rabbits. Now it's eat dirt, drink pee, run rabbits with an onion in my sock. Eventually, the Simpsons will predict everything. Note coming in from Billable Rick. Hidden cowbell for Joey in my debut tonight as captain of my Tuesday night pool team. In rereading Joey's journal today, I noticed that we both missed the following hidden gem. Yes, and it is too bad the film had a birth in this nation, referring to the premiere. I'm enjoying your call tonight with Ken. I need to call in one of these days. You really should. Yes, the hidden cowbell. There's that. Also, says Billable, due to the attrition in captains on my Tuesday night men's doubles pool team, the first one got expelled from the league for fighting with opposing team after we beat them 11-7, and the successor, who just moved to the OC and now works at Dove Canyon Golf Club in Rancho Santa Margarita, a.k.a. Heaven's Gateland. I've been elevated to captain of the team. I'm far from the best shot on my team. I win 53% of my games and sink the eight ball in 19% of my games. But anyway, wish me and the team luck tonight. Absolutely. Good luck. Good luck. And just take a moment and thank the Flying Spaghetti Monster or the Goddess of Irony or the, you know, I'm not on your team because I suck. I shoot left-handed. But I suck. Thanks, Billable. Once again, you know, Scary Jerry got into the land of cryptocurrency last night and blockchains and things like that. A story that I'm not going to read because I'm just not going to understand it. The Justice Department sees $3.6 billion of stolen Bitcoin, its largest financial seizure ever, and arrested a couple accused of laundering it. That whole thing just makes my head hurt. So, I don't even know what that means, but okay. But, says Jeremy in Vermont, you've yet to add shoving a light tube somewhere along with the rest of the COVID precautionary things you feel you need to do as you run into the yard now. Well, he wanted us to drink disinfectant, and, you know, I'm just trying not to, but I mean, the fact of the matter is, alcohol is a disinfectant. But you know, I've tried. I'm giving up the rot gut tequila and the swirly straw, no matter how many good arguments there are for it. Another maggot insurrectionist has been taken into custody. I'm sure they'll get. I'm sure this person will get. Oh, I don't know, 15 minutes of probation and a $500 fine. Via the Daily Beast, the U.S. Attorney's Office for the District of Columbia announced the arrest of Eric Gerwatowski. The DOJ saying that he played a key central role getting other insurrectionists all head up to force their way into the Capitol building. From the press release, on January 6th, Gerwatowski was at the front of a crowd just outside the upper house doors. U.S. Capitol Police were attempting to close these doors to prevent further rioters from getting into the building. That's insurrectionists, DOJ. Gerwatowski pulled open one of the doors that the Capitol Police had just closed. Two officers were standing directly inside and had just tried to secure the entrance. in plain sight to Gerwetowski and others. Once he pulled open the door, Gerwetowski turned to the crowd and yelled, "Let's go!" and directed more rioters inside, and then he went in too. I don't know. Maybe he was waving them in with one arm, waving in like a Kareem Abdul-Jabbar skyhook over his head. Come on, you know, just like Josh Hawley did. Not saying, just saying. But of course, there's a punchline to this because these are all Ginsu commercials. But wait, there's more. He's in a bunch of different videos, this Eric Gerwetowski is. And somebody that stuck a camera in his face, he looked at him and said, "Well, we're going into the Capitol because the commies are trying to steal the country." Well, the Washington Football Club hadn't been named the Commanders yet. Oh, wait, different commies. And apparently Gerwetowski was it was something contemporaneous with the shooting of the insurrectionist Ashley Babbitt. Definitely Ashley Babbitt. Ashley Babbitt. Definitely Ashley Babbitt. Fighting the commies. Well, he's in custody, at least for a minute. And I don't know if they're going to take him to Burger King or not. No. Oh, and by the way, Todd, with a message for Ken. Keep calling. Absolutely. Your voice is welcome, Ken. And so we have entered the third hour of this Titanic Tuesday, and it is indeed Titanic. Let's take a second. It being a Tuesday, we have the Green News Report. And let's see what Brad and Desi have for us on tap this evening.
It's Tuesday, February 8, 2022.
If Russia invades, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2.
President Biden vows controversial Russian pipeline won't go forward if they invade Ukraine.
The authorities declared a state of national disaster after fields and rivers were inundated by floodwaters.
Madagascar reels from second deadly cyclone in 2 weeks. Plus, bad news and good as new satellite data catches methane super emitters.
That sounds mostly bad. All of those bad and good news stories straight ahead from BradBlog.com. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
Stand by for 6 minutes of independent green news, politics, analysis, and snarky comment.
You take the United States of America out of the fossil industry right now, I guarantee you the world will get, the climate will get more challenged and dirtier.
Oh, okay, great. Thanks, Joe Manchin. So we should just stick with your family's million-dollar coal business? Got it. That'll make the climate cleaner. This is your Green News Report. Okay, Desi Doyen, Germany entered into a deal with Russia some time ago to get a whole bunch of energy from them. And now that may be causing problems?
Yes, indeed. Geopolitical tensions are rising, and so are oil prices along with it. In a joint press conference at the White House on Monday, President Biden and new German Chancellor Olaf Scholz issued a coordinated warning to Russia, vowing swift sanctions if President Putin launches a new invasion of Ukraine. Biden said that the controversial Nord Stream 2 natural gas pipeline from Russia to Germany won't go forward.
If Russia invades, that means tanks or troops crossing the border of Ukraine again, then there will be no longer a Nord Stream 2. We will bring an end to it.
However, Chancellor Scholz would not explicitly commit to halting operations of the Nord Stream 2. Overall, the escalating conflict plus tight oil and gas supplies globally have both driven oil and natural gas prices up more than 20% over the last 6 weeks.
Funny how that happens.
In other news, at least 20 people were killed and more than 55,000 displaced in Madagascar over the weekend after the second deadly cyclone in 2 weeks, pummeled the impoverished island nation, intensifying an ongoing humanitarian crisis. Torrential rainfall from Cyclone Batsirai triggered flash floods in the island's agricultural heartland, sweeping away entire villages. The United Nations warns Madagascar is on the brink of the world's first climate change famine, directly caused by man-made global warming due to years of unrelenting drought.
Who could have predicted it?
The world's rapidly shrinking glaciers have less ice than previously thought, according to a new study in Nature Geoscience, with major implications for drinking water supplies. Glaciers around the world are rapidly melting due to man-made global warming. Less glacial mass to melt means glaciers could contribute less to sea level rise than previously thought. However, it also means freshwater supplies could decline sooner than expected for the millions of people worldwide who depend on glacial melt for their drinking water, crop irrigation, and everyday use.
Is that the good news, bad news thing you were talking about?
No, that's next.
Uh-oh.
Meanwhile, a growing number of satellites are now able to detect so-called super emitters of climate warming methane around the planet. The bad news is that the satellite data revealed, for example, that oil and gas facilities in West Texas released 1,800 huge bursts of methane in just 3 years.
Well, that's just them keeping the climate clean, as Joe Manchin might say.
It's the climate pollution equivalent of 500,000 cars a year.
Wow.
However, a new study in the journal Science suggests that data can help governments prioritize enforcement efforts. The researchers found that cracking down on just methane super emitters would be a low-cost, high-impact way that countries and fossil fuel companies could make immediate cuts to methane pollution. That would help slow down near-term global warming, buying us time to cut longer-lasting carbon emissions. Some good-ish news. Japanese carmaker Nissan announced that it will end development of new internal combustion engines in all of its major markets to focus all of its resources on shifting to electric vehicles.
Cool.
Except in the U.S. Nissan says limited development will continue on gasoline engines for the U.S. market, mainly those used for pickup trucks, where it projects demand for gas-powered trucks will persist.
'Cause America loves its gas.
And finally, Chinese electric vehicle battery maker BYD has introduced its U.S. version of an electric school bus that utilizes what's called vehicle-to-grid technology. When the bus is not transporting school children, it can serve as a big yellow storage battery for the electric grid.
Very nice. Why don't we ever get to do good stuff like that? For much more on all of these stories and the ones we couldn't get to today, check out our website at greennews.bradblog.com. Find, follow, and share us planet-wide on the Facebooks and the Twitters at Green News Report. I'm Brad Friedman.
And I'm Desi Doyen.
And this has been your Green News Report.
I heard that bumper coming from a mile away. So the lines are open if you'd like to engage in some conversation this evening. It is, after all, conversation radio. Thank you to Brad and Desi. I always enjoy what they do. Sometimes I screw up and don't run it, and that's on me. But yeah, a little bit of follow up. Do you remember young Ethan Crumbly? The little devil who shot up his school and his classmates in Michigan. Well, they have had a had a hearing in the case, and he killed four students and maimed seven other people. And this is one of those that they do. The Ma and Pa Crumbly knew what a little monster they were raising. They're both facing four counts of involuntary manslaughter at Oxford High School last November. And one Andrew Smith, Ma Crumbly's supervisor, testified that
she sent a text message right after the shooting was announced, basically saying that I'm going to have to go meet with a school counselor, and because she pretty much knew it was her little monster who had done the killing. Lord. She knew. She texted, "The gun is gone and so are the bullets." Her supervisor says, "I'm praying everything's okay." "Oh my God, Andy, he's going to kill himself. He must be the shooter." And what's the next thing that she says? "I need a lawyer at the substation with police." Ethan did it. "I need a lawyer."
Yeah.
And by the way, John in Central PA, picking up on what I was saying about John Fetterman, Arnold in PA said, "I've met him a couple of times. He's a good guy." John says, "I'm going to gleefully vote for John Fetterman in the Democratic primary this year, and then hopefully in November. I despise Dr. Oz, especially because he's no Pennsylvanian, but unfortunately, he looks like Bernie Sanders compared to all of his fascist Republican opponents." Yeah, but I mean, what is there to say about Dr. Oz? I mean, I don't know. Maybe he's the guy spreading the put an onion in your sock treatment. God. And back to the stress line. Hey, welcome to the program.
Yes, Robin. This is Irwin in Montana.
Well, hey, Irwin, how you doing? Good to hear from you.
Yeah, it's been a long time. I thought I probably should call in sometime. I just to check in and here in the Great Northwest, I guess. Not much going on here. We have a Republican governor now, but you don't hear a word from him. I mean, he's just like he's just like he's hibernating or something, which might be good. I don't know, but I saw something one day on Twitter about him beating the last our Democratic governor's record on muffins in the office, you know, or something like that. It was supposed to be a joke, but anyway, we do have we're going to have another representative. Our population is over a million now, so we will get another representative. And
oh, great!
Guess who was the first? The guest who was the first one that threw his hat in the ring? Ryan Zinke. Remember Ryan Zinke?
Oh yeah, Shrinky Zinke.
Yeah. So he's wants to be the new. So we would have two highly maggot representatives if he actually got in there. So I'm hoping that the party here in Montana can find somebody, but I don't know who it would be to take him on, you know. But it's frustrating, you know, to be in a red state again. When I moved here, you know, I moved here from North Dakota, which was all red. When I moved here, you know, it wasn't all red here, but now it is again. So
it might have been a little pinkish when you got there, but it's red meat now.
Yeah, it is. So, but anyway, so I thought I'd call in. I heard. Was it Ken that called just a while ago?
Yeah, that was Ken up in PA.
Yeah, it was a good call. Yeah, got me motivated to call. So that's I hope things are going well with you and your your life. I know it's must be difficult, to go through all that. or maybe it's not. Maybe it's a big relief. I don't know.
It's a mixture.
Yeah, understand. Yeah, okay.
It hasn't been easy, but by the same token, the relief is amazing.
Right, I understand. Yeah, so, I'm very nervous about this next election. We're just going to dominate the Democrats, and then the next day, it seems like something happens, and I change my mind, and I say we're in trouble, and I just I don't know. I was hoping when after Biden was elected that with the radical right would disappear, but. I was wishful thinking, I guess. I'm not sure how to handle that, to think about that. I mean, to think that my parents and whatnot, suffered through the 30s and suffered through World War II, and my uncle got killed by the Nazis in Germany, and and then we've got Nazis on our streets now, and it's so frustrating to me, and just seems like there's so many people that don't understand the threat that we're under right now. It's just, and I think it's just because of the population, maybe the people are younger and they just don't realize or what? Well, I'm not sure, but it gives me anxiety, So, but anyway, that's why we have people like you to listen to and to call into. So.
That's so kind of you, Erwin. I appreciate it. And by the way, I've been loving your tweets.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I live right next to the university here, but it costs so much to go take classes anymore. So I just kind of self study for myself and stuff. And in my family, there's one side of the family has early dementia, so I've heard that if you keep your mind occupied or keep it exercised, it helps. So I guess that's my excuse for doing a lot of what I do, my stuff. But I've been going through the history of the presidents, and that's really fascinating. I really never had any American history in college. I never took any, so it's really fascinating.
It's eye-opening, isn't it?
What's that?
It's eye-opening.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, it's just, it seems like things haven't changed a whole lot, really. each of the presidents, nearly all of them were presidential, even the ones that we call bad. I mean, one reason I wanted to do it was compare like Trump to some of these older, some of the presidents in the past. There wasn't anybody like him. I mean, I can't see if there was. They were all, competent. At least they could act presidential, he was such an outlier that, I don't know. I just hope that not another one like him gets in, I just don't think we can, or him himself, So, but, it's kind of what I was doing mostly just for my own edification. And I like to send them out. I was doing a lot of letters to the editor in Montana, but hardly any of them will print any of my letters anymore. You know, they don't. The editors were the two papers where I was sending to. They changed editors, and they're all a conglomerate, Lee Enterprises, it's a hedge fund manager or something who owns all of them. It owns like 70 newspapers. So I'm probably not saying what they want me to say, especially in a red state. So,
I would think it would be a little more liberal in a university town, is it not?
Well, yeah, it is, but it's still, I don't know. I was pretty critical of some of the, like this Matt Rosendale, this representative who was, I think the first week he was in office, he was down at the southern border, and you read his Twitter, that's all he talks about, the southern border, you know, and we're up here 2,000 mile or whatever it is to the southern border.
Oh, my God. They're coming for us. I tell you, they're coming for us.
I mean, in this governor we had, he went down there, too, when there was, I don't know, there were 6 or 7 governors who went down there. You know, there's just a stupid political, you know, we have real problems here, you know. And I just don't see how people can vote for people like that. You know, they're just bitter. You know, he's just a, you know, just a blatant politician and, you know, party man, just all 100% party man. And I don't know. I always hoped that Montana, of course, I'm not saying anything bad about out of staters, but our governor is originally from New Jersey, and this Rosendale, he's from Maryland. So, you know, so of course, being a native Montanan, so that, I take that kind of personally that they come in and claim that they're, you know, they come and buy a ranch and then they become Montanans, you know, overnight or whatever. So I suppose a lot of other states are the same way, but we've had some good, you know, we, like Montana, we had Mike Mansfield, you know, was here, and there was several others that were really, you know, pretty good statesmen, you know, but that's not the way it is anymore,
It's interesting you would bring up Mike Mansfield, Irwin, because Joe Biden credits Mike Mansfield with giving him his political philosophy upon his entry into the Senate. He said Mansfield told him early on, I think he said that Mike Mansfield encouraged him to stay in the Senate because he arrived in the Senate at a time of the greatest heartbreak of his entire life. You know, the loss of his wife and daughter in a car wreck. Mansfield told him that he belonged there and he needed to stay. And that, among other things, he said, question an opponent's policy positions, question their rightness or wrongness factually, but never question their good faith.
Right.
And he Biden has said that was truly a formative moment. The problem is I don't think that day, I don't think that world exists anymore. Do you?
No, I don't. No, that's bygone days now, I think.
When you've got a sitting U.S. senator waving the insurrectionists on into the Capitol, I mean that good faith ship has sailed.
Yeah, I agree. Some are more radical than others, but they stick together. You know, when it even Lisa Murkowski or whatever means that she. You know, she's probably as moderate from what I can see about her legislation anyway. She's moderate as any of them, but she still toes the line, you know. When it, you know, Mitch McConnell just runs that thing like a, you know, a taskmaster, I think. So, I don't know. At least that's, I just think that those authoritarian people, authoritarian followers, they get into line so easy. I think that's part of it, part of their effectiveness, actually, is, you know, getting into line, whereas us Democrats kind of veer once in a while, but that's just my opinion. I don't know if that's right or not, but I, you know, I wouldn't want to see our party like them, you know. I mean, I like the diversity and thought in what, and, you know, there's more to America than the white male, you know, so that's just the way it is. So I give you my political philosophy of whatever it's worth.
Well, it's really good hearing from you, Irwin. I trust you're, you know, doing the necessaries and staying warm and all of that. I don't know how bad a winter you've had up there. I imagine you've gotten slammed a couple of times.
Yeah, it's been a cold winter, a lot of snow, but you know, it helps. It may push the fire season into August instead of July, you know, this year or something, if we, because of the snowpack that we've gotten. So, but it has been a cold winter. Last winter was cold too, you know, and, but it's still warmer here than when I was in North Dakota by a long shot, you know.
Well, there's a little something in Montana to slow the wind down, depending on the direction it's coming from, at least.
Right, yeah. And I'm in the mountains here, so.
Must be beautiful.
If anything, we don't. Yeah, it is. It's really beautiful here. I have friends up here that, one who's, he walks like, he hikes every day, and photographer, and, you know, he gets pictures of the bears and elk and everything around here and stuff. It's kind of cool. But so there's a lot to do here, outdoorsy, like, you know.
Yeah, it's kind of like here. There's a lot to do outside, but it's more fun to do it outside when the temperature's above freezing.
yeah, that's right. Yeah, and there's we do have a ski resort right close by, but it's very steep. And I don't, you know, I'm not a young man anymore. So, it costs a month's salary to ski anymore too. So I don't ski.
Well, but at least in Montana where you can use a ski pass for your voter identification? Is it? Do I remember that right?
It could be. I don't know. Of course, there's been some changes in that, with this legislature we had this year. They meet every 2 years, and this year the first thing they changed was, or made it so that on all the college campuses you could carry a weapon, you know. That was the first bill that passed.
Right, yeah.
And because we definitely needed that. That's the most important thing we needed in Montana.
Yeah, it's not like there were any hungry people or people who were homeless. No, we got to be able to take a gun to class. Oh, God, these people.
Yeah.
I know. Irwin, it's great talking to you, my friend. Do stay well, and don't be such a stranger, okay?
Yeah, you sure. Thanks a lot.
All right, take care. Bye now.
Goodbye.
Our buddy Irwin, calling from Montana Stan. Sorry, Montana gets the Stan. Yeah. You know, John Teaster is like a friendlier, more down-to-earth, less slimily unctuous Joe Manchin. kind of, you know, likable that way. I'm going right back to the phones, but thanks to an anonymous friend who jumped in with a participating in Frank's challenge. We're down to $20 to go on Frank's challenge. And that would get us, if that's meant, that would give us all the way down to only $5.99 to go to get caught up with fundraising. That would be yesterday and today. Well, the $2.99 of yesterday and $3.00 today. But thank you. Thank you to our dear friend anonymously. Jude says, what a Tuesday. Two somewhat new callers this day. Hopeful sensation, I sense. Erwin and Ken. Wow, this is so revealing as to what you provide us, Robin. An intimate line to be heard. That's what I always wanted it to be, Jude. I want this to be conversation. And by conversation, I don't mean inviting some wackadoodle, hate-filled monstrosity onto the program to, you know, talk about their white supremacy, misogyny, transphobia, homophobia. You know, anything that goes on Pink Shrek's program. Let's run over and check in with Billable Rick. Hey, Billable.
Hey, how you doing, Robin?
I'm doing good. Good to hear from you.
Well, likewise. You know, I figured since, Ken called for the first time in, like, I don't know, several blue moons, if not more, and then Erwin, our buddy from Montana, called, I thought I would chime in as well.
Complete the trifecta.
Why not? And I actually have a line where I can be heard on, because normally on the front porch, I have to listen through this, like, portable speaker device that's connected to my smartphone, so the audio gets all screwed up and, you know, people can't hear when I talk, and so I just can't get in the word edgewise a lot of times. So anyway, I figured I'd give the program a call and just check in.
Well, I'm glad you did. So, you know, congratulations on your elevation to your captaincy.
Yeah, well, we're struggling to put six guys together.
Really? I mean, the part that got me was the brawling with the opposition part. I mean, were pool cues broken and used as spears? I mean, what the hell was that?
Well, he was brawling with members of our team as well as we were trying to hold him back.
He was fighting everybody. Okay, it was one of those nights.
Yeah, yeah. He thought that, and drinking was occurring. He had, I think, hard liquor in him, too. But he was shooting on an eighth ball, and he thought that the guy on the other team was directly behind him and sharking him. And so he missed his shot, and then he, like, you know, lost and got pissed off. And I think he scratched on the eight ball or something. And
sorry.
He blamed his miss on the other guy. And so instead of winning the match 12-8, we won it 11-7. BFD, you know? And he started, like, kind of approaching the other guy and yelling at him. And, I mean, he's been, like, 86th from that bar. It's an American Legion bar. So he's not welcome there anymore. And he also got kicked out of the league. So we had another captain who joined the league. And, you know, I somehow motivated him to move out of L.A. County because he – yeah, because there was a chance there I would be working in San Diego, which didn't happen.
Sorry to hear that.
No, that's okay. I wasn't ready either, you know. And the very day that I would have started down in San Diego, my son's cat died, like a 12-year-old Siamese.
Oh.
On the 24th, January 24th.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah, sweet little guy.
This is about the cat. Like, yes, probably, this is about the cat.
Yeah, he was probably down to like 4 pounds. So, I mean, if I had taken that job, I wouldn't have been there to comfort my son when Toby passed on and so forth. So it just wasn't meant to be, so to speak. You know, the timing was just wrong. Plus, he's training for a job right now in IT, and he's training from home. And so I would have to maintain residences in both L.A. County and San Diego at the same time. And, you know, I didn't think the money was good enough to be able to afford that either. So. But anyway, my buddy, the second captain, the guy who succeeded the brawler, Brett the Brawler, we'll call him, he was motivated by my job search to go to get a job at the Dove Canyon Country Club or Golf Club or whatever the hell it's called. And he's a cook. He's like a chef. He's no longer the captain. So it kind of fell by default to me because I'm like the one of the last original members of the team. Another member of our team, unfortunately, took his own life like last June.
Oh, my God.
A shotgun in his backyard of his parents' home. Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, his name was Skip. So we've named the team Skip, Rattle, and Roll is the team. But it's an interesting format. It's men's doubles. The captain chooses which players are going to play. There's like three teams. Each team has two member teams. Or partners, let's say. Okay, so the captain decides who the partners are going to be, and you each play like six racks. Okay, so you could possibly go 6-0 as a team, or 0-6. I typically go maybe 4-2, 3-3. Sometimes I've gone 5-1 a couple of times. And you alternate shots, or actually alternate turns, not alternate shots. So you keep shooting as long as you make a ball, and if you miss a ball, then the other team gets to go in whatever order, you know, is being played. You know, you don't get to, like, you know, basically you alternate shots, and you have, you know, kind of like, you know, baseball, you know, you just keep the same order. You keep the same order. So, you know, on any given night, you each get to break once, at least once, maybe twice. You rack at least once, maybe twice. And so it's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I'm playing like,
but it's,
you know,
it's eight ball. I remember the last time we talked, you were into nine ball.
It's eight ball. My nine ball is Wednesday night.
Okay.
My nine ball is Wednesday night. Yeah. And, you know, for whatever reason, my lifetime winning percentage on the nine ball team is like 59%, which is actually the best on the team. And for eight ball, it's only like maybe anywhere from 53 to 55%. And I think I attribute that to the fact that I get a lot of early eight, a lot of scratches, because I just hit the ball too damn hard sometimes, and you just never know where the eight ball is going to go if you don't know where the cue ball is going to end up, you know?
Big hitter, the Llama.
Or you just don't see.
Yeah, big hitter,
yeah,
the Llama.
Yeah, or you just don't see. Yeah, exactly. Or you just don't see scratches happening, you know. You have to really.
Well, I mean, statistically, there are less, you know, there's less balls on the table in nine ball.
That's true. There are, but swap counts, which is good. I'm not like a ball banger. I'm pretty precise in my shooting generally, especially with more nine ball than eight ball for whatever reason. And, I just seem to do better at nine ball than eight ball. But, you know, it's still fun. I think if you can do well in eight ball, it helps you to prepare for nine ball and vice versa to some extent, you know. So it's, you know, just basically you're aiming and, you know, trying to do deflections and combinations and things like that. I've gotten pretty good at combinations, which is very helpful in nine ball, you know, especially if you're trying to, hit the target ball and then have the cue deflect into the nine ball to get the nine in, because with nine ball, whoever wins the lag and gets to break has a big advantage. You have about a, I'd say 60% of the time you at least get one ball in on the break with nine ball. Oftentimes you get the two wing balls going into opposite corners, corner pockets, depending on how you hit it. And so it's a big advantage to, you know, to just have a couple of easy balls there that go in before you have to go for, you know, the one ball or whatever the lowest numbered ball on the table still is. So, yeah, and on Monday night I play the league eight ball, and I didn't play last night. Our team was in first place by five points. We were playing the second place team, and everybody on the team lost. So,
the team that was lost, a pasting.
Total pasting. The team lost by 10-3. So we went from first place to at least second place and maybe into third place, depending on how the teams behind the second place team did. Yeah, so it wasn't a good night. I didn't even play, though. I just showed up and then left early. to kind of hang out at home with my son. So that's kind of an update. I'm still golfing about once a week, and managing to stay pretty healthy. I did get the Rona back in January.
Yeah, you and Star both had to deal with that, right?
Yeah. Star had a bad fever. She had a 103-degree fever off and on for like 3 days. She didn't have the booster. She only had the first two shots. I had the booster on December 17th, and so I figured I was exposed maybe on New Year's Eve and didn't come down with it until maybe the second or third. I think I got it from her. I'm not sure. And so it was no worse than like a mild, very mild cold. I mean, hardly any congestion, just mostly a, you know, dry cough and a slightly scratchy throat. It was really nothing for me. I didn't even know I had it, and you know, until I tested myself just to make sure I was negative, and my first two tests were negative because I think it was still in my throat. It hadn't migrated up to the sinuses where you measure it, you know. So those tests aren't necessarily that accurate for the Omicron variant, from what I can tell.
I don't know how you feel about it, but I saw a little piece of breaking news earlier today that California will drop their mask mandate. And, of course, New Jersey's dropping theirs. Connecticut's dropping theirs. Mm-hmm. And maybe I'm just hypersensitized to this whole thing, but, you know, we saw the story on the news, and I looked at it, and I said, yeah, great, we're going to do that until the next variant.
Yeah, we've seen this movie before, haven't we, Robin?
Yeah.
We definitely have. I mean, I was at my, I was getting my physical today and asked my doctor, oh, so what do you think about the Pi variant coming? And he said, well, I don't know. It's kind of too soon to tell what's going to happen, you know, but I hope it's not, you know, I hope we're not just, you know, spiking the ball early, you know. I'm kind of reminded of, I don't know if you remember, like in the 70s, there was this kind of a Minnesota Vikings receiver, might have been in the playoffs even. He was like, he had the ball raised in one hand above the, in the air, and he was about to cross the goal line, and then he got like knocked. I think it was Ahmad Rashad, actually, if I'm not mistaken.
Ahmad Rashad, yes.
Yeah. He had a defender knocked the ball out of his hand, and it went out of the end zone for like a touchback for the other team. So he was like, you know, definitely prematurely celebrating there, and I think it cost him the game, if I'm not mistaken. I'm sure somebody on the research team could look that one up.
yeah, premature celebration.
Yeah, right.
But I mean, it's got to be out there. I mean, the World Health Organization. I know, commies.
Mm-hmm.
And I know you, like I, am looking forward to the next NFL season when we get to say things like the commies took it on the chin today.
the Bears ate the commies.
Yeah.
That's going to be funny.
Commies get stuffed, you know. That'll, exactly. But, you know, it couldn't happen to a nicer guy, Dan Snyder. I mean, what a...
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He seems like a turd from what I've heard. I mean, I don't know that much about the guy. I mean, he's just another billionaire. What do you expect?
Right. I mentioned that sort of obliquely because the fact of the matter is, you know, the World Health Organization has told us, you know, there's another variant coming. We don't necessarily know what it is or how it'll behave, but to think it'll be milder and weaker is wishful thinking at best, and a looming entree to disaster at worst.
Yeah.
And yet today, you know, I'm hearing with the coming of warm weather and a higher humidity, the virus will have a harder time. Like, shut up.
We've heard that before.
Nitwit Nero in 2020?
2020.
Saying, you know, and by in April, it'll mysteriously disappear with warm weather.
Well, I gotta remember, this is 2020, 22.
Yeah, exactly. This is 2022.
2022. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, this is the weirdest. This is the weirdest respiratory virus we've ever faced. I mean, and people. I mean, we've had the tools to fight this thing. If people, I mean, just think about it. If we, what if the U.S. had, instead of 64% vaccination rate, what if we were like the Canadians and had 84%? I'm sure.
Well, ultimately, and I'm certainly not trying to spread any disinformation, the number you're looking for is 95%. When you get to 95%, you can stop outbreaks.
Right, right, yeah. But in today's world, there's just so much horseshit out there. The anti-vaxxers, and you've got the RFKs of the world, and the Joe, you know, Rogaines of the world, and, you know, all these, spreaders of misinformation. You've got the Facebook, you've got the, you know, Eastern European trolls that are, you know, spreading false information about any number of things, including, you know, the coronavirus. You've got these, you know, anti-maskers out there, the anti-vaxxers, the right wing. I mean, since when is a tool to protect against infection? How can that be a political statement? I mean, I don't get it.
Because you have a functioning big old primate brain and are not relying solely on your lizard brain for your decision making, right?
That's true. You know, that's right. That's right. The lizard brain, I know how they think, because after I'm up like maybe two straight days, then my lizard brain has kicked in and I can kind of understand how right wingers think. You know what I'm saying? You just don't have the logic, just totally leaves you, you know. And I only do that if I have to work or whatever, if I've got a major assignment, litigation, that kind of thing. I don't like to do that. It's too taxing on the body, especially at my age now, you know. So, it's nice here. I'm looking at the sunset here. It's the computer says it's 79 degrees and sunny. We're going to get into the 80s tomorrow. Today was in the low 80s here. It's going to get possibly into the 90s, I hear, by the end of the week.
Well, I'm kind of looking forward to my road trip next week. I hate being away from the program, but I was just checking the weather for Birmingham Wednesday, the day of my appointment, and it's going to be like 70 and sunny.
Beautiful.
And so I get to take something cute and not just be, you know, bundled up like a, you know, a little frozen hillbilly maiden. I confess, I'm looking forward to it.
Are you just making that trip solo then, or are you going to have the lovely Viking warrior princess?
No, she's going to stay here and mind the kitty cats and whatnot. So I'll be on my own for this one. I'll get out of here probably about 4:30, 5 in the morning. Drive into the sunrise, and if traffic cooperates, I'll be in Birmingham by 1:30 in the afternoon.
Okay, so you still have snow on the ground there or
not? Oh, yeah, I mean, it's gotten up to 40 the last couple of days, so the snow is slowly disappearing, but it's still, you know, on shady hillsides and things like that, there's still snow, and I'm sure we're far from done.
None in the
immediate future, but that's meaningless. I mean, you got to remember, this is Central Appalachia, where we have a rule of thumb that you don't plant your garden until after Mother's Day.
Right, right. You just never know. Yeah, I'd like to make a road trip into the snow. I sort of made a mini one a couple of weeks ago, not long after we had that storm. It was like 2 weeks earlier. It's been like a month since it's rained here. So the snow's starting to kind of melt from the foothills that surround L.A., you know, like way off in the distance. Not really the foothills, but the mountains, I guess. There's no snow in the foothills, but in the mountains you can see the snow. And we went up to the mountains with the German exchange student who's staying at Star's place a couple of weeks ago. It was a lot of fun. And just kind of got out of the car, took pictures, walked in the snow for a little bit, threw a few snowballs, you know, and then you know, kind of turned around and went back.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I mean, I was just looking here. When I leave here on Tuesday morning, it will be 18 degrees Fahrenheit.
Oh my! Oh my!
Wow! But it'll get up to like, you know, 36 or something. It'll be nice to feel something warm for just a moment.
Yeah. Are you going to make it down to the coast or not?
Oh, no. That's trip, I'd love to. I'd love to go see Terry, but
yeah.
No, that's too far in too short a time. And
exactly.
What I will do is I'll do what has become a tradition for me. I'll go to my doctor's appointment, and then I'll go up to a little town where I was raised and put flowers on my parents' grave.
Oh, that's nice. That's nice. Yeah. Yeah. I haven't been back to my father's gravesite in, geez, probably 15 years, maybe. I don't know. 10 years, 15 years back.
Well, there's a sense of rightness that comes with it. I mean, I don't know
yeah,
any,
there is.
I don't know any other way to describe it, but it's just, it's right.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
And in my case, you know, I don't know what they knew about me. I think they suspected things, but
your mom probably knew a lot more than your dad, because women tend to be more perceptive, you know.
Yeah.
You know, more sensitive. I mean, I'm stereotyping, obviously, but I'm just
no. But there, I mean, there's reasons for me to think that. You're right.
Yeah. 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 Well, that'll be good. That'll be good. It's always good.
And that also means I get to load up on things I can't get up here. So I'm, you know, the car won't be nearly as jam packed as it was when we were coming back from, you know, being down there for 8 weeks. So that means I'm going to, because we're just missing things up here. I'll get a couple of cases of Fresca, a couple of cases of caffeine free Coke Zero, load up on Diet Grapico, and bring back pint after pint after pint of pimento cheese spread from Trowbridge's, load up on some original. Okay. You've had my hot slaw, but I'm going to load up on the original, mm-hmm. the original yeah. hot slaw from the barbecue joint Dick Howell's down there. And I looked at Annette earlier today, and I said, you know, I wish I could afford one of those travel freezers that plugs into the accessory outlet in your car. And you know, she didn't even wait. She didn't even wait for why. She just said, no, Robin, no.
Yeah.
Because, and for instance, our pal Joy in Ann Arbor already knows why I want a portable freezer. I want to bring back, you know, several cartons of Bluebell homemade vanilla ice cream, because holy cow, that stuff's just wonderful.
Well, you know, you never know with this community, Robin. One of those freezers could just show up on your front.
It could. I mean, stranger things have happened. But you know, they've got a deal. You know, I can't buy that brand up here. It's just not here. But you can order it from them for like $100. They'll send you 2 gallons of ice cream for $138. The money's not in the ice cream. The money is in the shipping. Because they ship it to you next day air on dry ice.
Right.
And I got to thinking, where would you even go to get dry ice now?
Talk about supply chain issues. Can you get Kaneka anymore or not?
Well, they were having production problems with Kaneka simply because I think everybody at the plant had the Rona or had quit.
Right.
But...
Right.
I can still get it in. I can't get all the flavors up here. One of the things I really like is they started producing a no nitrite, no nitrate version. It tastes just the same, but it doesn't have the toxic chemicals in it.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, that's important.
So I might try to bring some of that back. I haven't made a pot of gumbo all winter. I'd love to have a pot of gumbo made with Kaneka. Get out of town.
We've had some good soup. Star is just such a good cook. She cooks gumbo. She cooks homemade chicken noodle soup. She had chili. We had, you know, she added some cinnamon to it, so it had a bit of the Cincinnati flavor.
She Cincinnatified it?
You know. She Cincinnatified it. Yeah, it was pretty good. And she actually put more allspice than she did cinnamon in it. She just added a touch of cinnamon, but actually a little more allspice than the cinnamon. And that actually was pretty good, pretty damn good.
Well, I'll tell you the thing, because Annette has just bragged on it since that one Sunday in Birmingham when I made it. It was my first major cooking thing after surgery. I made that oxtail soup. And she said it is the best. Yeah. She said it was the best thing I have ever made. That, in her opinion. And
wow, that says a lot.
Supply chain issues are weird. And so I was talking. I was talking to my buddy up at the Wiggling Pig, and I said, "Can you try?" He said, "I can try. No guarantees, but I can't. I can't." There were oxtails in almost every grocery store down in Birmingham. There are no oxtails to be found here, which just seems kind of weird in a place like West Virginia, Rick.
That is weird. That is weird.
I mean, you know, we'll eat any part of any beast.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But there's no
right. I can eat.
Now this
Let me ask you this. Can you find wildebeest perchance there in West Virginia?
The local franchise of Wildebeest R Us closed down a couple of years ago. But it used to be in our local Wally World, you could get beef heart, and beef heart is delicious.
Huh. Okay.
The vegans and the vegetarians are just ruined for a couple of weeks now with this conversation. What else is she going to say she eats? Well, mountain oysters are out for me. I'll never eat them again.
There you go. Exactly. Are you going to have an old friend over and have some Chianti and fava beans?
I ate his liver with some Chianti and some nice fava beans.
Oh my God!
Well, let's see. It would be 4:56 on the. So have I ruined your afternoon snack yet?
You know, I had a late lunch, so I had a late breakfast because whenever I get my physical, I have this breakfast burrito. And I usually eat that like from maybe 10 to 11, and I was filled up. I wasn't even hungry till 2.
So oh, a good burrito dinner, out there. So. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to have an early salmon dinner, and then I'll go and drive to the pool match. I've got like an hour to go.
That reminds me, the next time you get one of those fabulous burritos. And by the way, Brother Deacon Asa just said beef heart is the shit. Yes, it is. It's delicious. there's a sauce. And I'm sure you'd be able to find it somewhere in the greater Los Angeles area. It comes from Costa Rica, and it's called Lizano. I've talked about it before, L-I-S-A-N-O. It's kind of a golden brown condiment sauce. It's not particularly spicy, but it's got all these beautiful vegetable flavors in it. And on a burrito, it is the end of the freaking world. Magnificent.
Lizano.
Yeah.
Lozano, okay. Yeah, that's one country I've never been to, Costa Rica. I'd love to go sometime.
I read somewhere that they're headed for, you know, they've got the most stable democracy, probably the most stable democracy in the Americas. There was no clear winner in their presidential election, and so it's headed to a runoff.
Oh, okay.
You know, there's no standing army in Costa Rica.
Uh-huh. Right. There's no war on drugs.
And it used to be. I don't know if it's still this way, but people who would guide on the New and Gauley River here in the warm weather months here would decamp to Costa Rica to river guide down there because apparently there's some fantastic whitewater.
Wow.
Yeah, that's one of the reasons. That's one of the reasons. Not, you know, and I'm not giving you shit. That's one of the reasons I really wanted you to at the Horn End. I wanted you to see some of the adventure possibilities here.
Well, is it? What's the chance of it happening?
It's on.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And you've got a resort picked out and everything.
I've narrowed it down to a couple of places.
Okay. Okay. Well, Joey and I were going to just share a room, possibly.
That would be fine.
So I've got to talk to him about it. And I would probably fly into maybe I would have, maybe Star could stay with his wife in Cleveland, because they get along well. And then we could fly into Cleveland, and then they could do their thing, and then we could drive down to, you know, to West Virginia.
Yeah, it's about five. It's about a five-hour drive. It's about a five-hour drive.
That's not bad. That's not bad.
Yeah, you just just jump on 70. You just basically jump on 77. I think it's 77 in Cleveland, and come down through, you know, Akron, and you cross into West Virginia at Williamstown, and you'd go to Charleston and then come east.
Yeah, that'd be a lot of fun. We need a vacation. Maybe
there are pool tables. And
good. That's excellent. Hey, I can set up a tournament. We'll have a tournament. We'll have the Horn Invitational or whatever.
The Horn Invitational?
There you go. That's right.
Horn In Invitation. Horn Invitation. Yeah, thank you.
Give yourself a compliment. Yes, exactly.
And good food. Good food. A lot of good food.
Yeah. Oh God, you're a hell of a cook for sure.
I'm probably going to bring another smoker online. Because I've been, you've heard me talking with Todd for years now about that trifold pork loin. I'm proud of that.
Oh, geez. Yeah.
The trifold stuffed pork loin with the pineapple and the mozzarella and the jalapenos there was the other. I think the one I was fondest of was the stuffed trifold pork loin with the dried cherries. Like Havarti.
Nice.
And the cherries rehydrate while in the pork loin juices. Yeah.
Wow. You're getting me hungry. And I actually am pretty good at cooking salmon. I have this kind of my own little sauce that I put on the salmon before I throw it on. It's kind of a combination of a little bit of garlic, like liquid garlic, you know?
Yeah.
Not pure liquid, but like fresh garlic that's refrigerated. And then I throw like about two parts of ginger to that, ginger sauce that you can get at like Costco.
Yeah.
And with some pepper.
I say yeah, but I mean, we don't have Costco's here. We're not that. We're not that uptown.
Yeah, and then I throw in some olive oil so I can stir it all together, and then I just kind of, like, gently put that on top of the salmon and then cook it, and it's delicious. That's what I'm having.
That sounds yummy. Brother Deacon Asa changed salmon forever for me when he taught me how to do that cure. You take the whole salmon plank, and you get your kosher salt, and you make a paste with the salt and egg whites. And what I like to do, I mean, I've done several different flavors, but the agreed winner here is lemon juice and dill weed, and then you encase the whole plank, you encase it in that salt egg white mixture, and let it sit for a few hours.
Okay.
And it takes all the fishiness out of it.
Okay.
And then you rinse it off and re-season it, and low and slow smoke it, and it gets devoured.
That sounds good. It absorbs some of the salt, but it's not.
No, it doesn't absorb any of the salt. It doesn't absorb any of the salt. No,
okay.
Because you rinse it after.
Okay. Right. But I would even think that even after rinsing, you would still have some salt.
I don't notice it, and I'm not that big a fan, but I will sit down and just knock that stuff out. It's just delicious.
Wow.
By the way, Earther jumped in and said, Hillbilly Maiden, is that a new metal band? Well, if it isn't, it should be. And then added, this conversation, we were talking about eating, hearts and things like oxtail. Earther said, this conversation has gone really awful, Robin. O-F-F-A-L.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, some of us are carnivores and others aren't. I mean, I'm less of a carnivore than a lot of people.
Well, I don't know if you heard, but the new mayor of New York, what's his name? Eric Adams.
Mm-hmm.
And he's one of these true believers. He preaches plant-based diet. And I'm not criticizing. I need to eat more along those lines too. But he recently got busted because he got caught eating fish.
Oh, okay, okay. Well, that's not a big deal. You know, like when you give up.
Did you ever ask? I mean, you know, did you ever? No, what? No, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. Think about the indignity of it. You're a self-respecting salmon. There you are, swimming around, swimming upstream, spawning, all of that stuff. You expect to be eaten by bears. You expect to be eaten by people who eat fish. And there you are, being a dead salmon. You're on the plate, and you look up, and there's a vegan eating you. Oh, the indignity. What did I ever do?
Oh, there you go.
What are you doing?
Well, I guess we all fall off the rat wagon sometimes, Robin, okay? So that was Eric Adams' wagon off.
That was a header. That was a header off the wagon. Yeah. But, you know, you can only pretend that tempeh tastes good for so long.
That's true.
I mean, have you ever had it?
Cooked tofu in so many ways. Yeah.
Now, I do some good tofu stuff. There will be some vegan fare at the Horn Inn.
Okay.
I don't know if you tasted it. I made a vegan curry at the Malloy Mountain Getaway that June, and that stuff was gone in a second.
Yeah, I probably had it. I thought that was end of November, early December.
No, that was the one you weren't there for this. No, I did it for the summer one.
You weren't there for that one. Summer one. I was there when it rained the whole time.
Yeah.
Which was beautiful because we never get rain in L.A.
Well, and Chris in Germany loved it. She said, this is exactly my kind of weather. Gray, gloomy. Yeah. Very German.
Yeah. Very German, yeah.
Oh, no, that town was just so pretty at Christmas time. I'd love to go back there someday just to do Christmas there. I thought it was gorgeous.
It was Helen, Georgia, if I recall.
Yep.
And they have their own wine as well, their own vineyard, their own brand. The wine was so-so. I wasn't real impressed with it. But
well, come on. It's wine in Georgia, Rick. Please.
Yeah, I'm a Sonoma and Napa snob. And actually, my favorite wines come from the Bordeaux region of both France and Spain, I think.
I like Pinot Noirs. A dear friend of mine down in Alabama, Miss Lila, has advanced my wine knowledge dramatically. And I don't like big old Cabernet Sauvignons, and it's just too much. But I like Pinot Noirs, and you know, things that are, you know, not sweet, but you know, you can tell the fruitiness. And I love them from France. I mean, I'm sorry, I'm just a Francophile in that regard. But the Chilean stuff, and some of the Spanish Riojas are just delight. I mean, and that brings out my.
I was going to mention.
That brings out my inner Hemingway.
Yeah, Riojas are great, and then Malbecs are very good from Argentina, the Mendoza region of Argentina. Those are delicious, I find.
Did you say Argentina? Because I think Flavio's going to cuss you in an email any minute now.
Isn't it Argentina? No.
I don't know.
Am I not pronouncing it correctly?
I don't know.
I think it is. Well, Flavio is there. I'm sure he'll let me know if he's offended. Yeah. So, this has been fun, Robin. I'm glad I called.
I'm so glad you did, Billable.
Yeah.
And I hope you kick ass and take names and don't have to break a pool cue over anybody's head this evening.
Oh, I'm very peaceable. Don't worry about that. I'm like about as level-headed as
you're Gandhi with a pool cue.
There you go. That's
I scratched.
Cowbell.
No, thank you.
Cowbell.
I scratched on the eight ball. This is life.
Oh, geez. You know, the rule we did have until I kept scratching on the eight ball is if you do an early eight or scratch on the eight, you've got to buy everybody shots, which is like six shots. And like after I spent like about, I don't know, it was about $50 one time. I was going to say
six shots of top shelf liquor in a bar in L.A. What's that? $275.
Yeah, not quite that much, but like 60. Let's say if you get like what a Jameson's or whatever, it would be about $10 a shot. It's like, no, guys, I don't think we're going to do that rule anymore.
It's getting too pricey.
So, yeah.
And remember, you know, for the horn end, I'm sure there will be a few people trying their first pickleback.
Oh, those are good. Yes, those are good. Yes, yes. Everybody, Robin makes the best picklebacks. It's delicious. Delicious. It's a pickle, and then you.
No, it's a shot of Jameson's.
Right.
A shot of Jameson's chased with about a half a shot of pickle juice.
That's right. That's
it's like that's the it's good. Like that's the unofficial, official, hipster, shot of the greater Fayette County New River Gorge National Park area.
Yeah, yeah, that's got to be beautiful. I haven't been down to the Appalachians since the 70s. We took a family trip from Iowa down to Florida, the east coast of Florida, and we drove through like Chattanooga and some of those.
No, I'll be going through Chattanooga this Tuesday, and that's I hate that route. I'll get shit from people in the region, but it feels like it takes forever, but from just north of Knoxville all the way to where you're almost into Alabama is just one long experience with people who are having their own personal little NASCAR moment on the highway.
Oh, I see. Okay.
You know,
okay.
If you ain't rubbing, you ain't racing. And it's like just, it's just ugly. I don't mean landscape wise. I mean, just the driving from Knoxville to Chattanooga is just ugh, awful.
Everybody thinks they're driving a Porsche and they're not, you know?
Yeah. Right? And you know what, when you're driving a rusted out 79 Caprice Classic, that's still got the McCain Palin sticker on it.
Oh my God.
It's a little scary.
Yeah. I would say so. Yeah, definitely. That is scary. That is scary. Well, there was a race at the Memorial Coliseum, NASCAR exhibition race on Sunday, and I know some people who went, and I guess that was a lot of fun. There were about 50,000 people in there. Did you see that on TV at all?
I did not see that, but I heard about it. Short track mayhem, I think, is what I saw somebody say.
Yeah, short track mayhem, and they reach speeds of like maybe 70 miles an hour. So it's not like they could go that fast because it's so damn short, the track. You know what?
I mean, it's like talking about racing at Bristol. You know, that's jets going in a circle in a toilet bowl.
Okay, you got a trifecta with the cowbells there.
Oh, okay, well, thank you.
Robin.
Well, I tell you what, our lovely, our dear sister Jude has just had a wonderful time listening this evening. She said, tonight's horn, I don't know how to feel about this. Tonight's installment of the horn reminds me of the movie Three Men and a Baby. Sappy as it is, it just visited me, dear Robin, as you journey so openly with us in your true essence as yourself, a woman. There's something so endearing when being loved by another and hearing how they view us as sweetly loved baby. A unique program on all levels. Good night. Beautiful baby reborn.
Oh, wow. That's lovely. Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Jude is very special. I know she gave me those smooth rocks at the...
See, that's perfect. She just wrote and said, she said, did Billable find a shell or rock from Mike's book signing? A tissue-papered box was in the front room on a small table across from where Mike read a chapter of Colored Ice Cream. We may have passed each other and never knew. So, yes, you did.
I think I met her. I'm not
No,
sure.
You didn't.
I must have.
No, you didn't. She just...
Oh, she shipped them from the Northwest.
Yeah,
she wasn't there. That's right.
She was there. Okay. She was there. She was there at the summer one, but she wasn't there at the winter one where you were.
Okay, but she was there in spirit because she sent her
right
rocks
her
rocks that she had touched and gathered so lovingly, and you know what have you. So, well, that's great. That's great. I love Jude. She's she always has such. Wonderful insights, you know, she is definitely the She is.
She's the horn spiritual. She's the horn spiritual advisor.
Yeah, she's the Maharishana of the horn. Is that a female version of?
Well, see, that's what we would do with a Latinate language. I don't know how Hindi and Sanskrit handle masculine versus feminine. I don't even know if that exists. You know, not all languages are gendered.
I know. I realize that.
When I tweeted out the picture of my, you know, when I filed my candidacy papers.
Congratulations, by the way. That is awesome. And also on your successful transition so far.
Thank you. Because the so far is the critical part. But no, using my Latin skills, I tweeted ecce candidata. Because you know you hang the A on the end and that makes it feminine.
Excellent.
But that's, you know, I had
languages are feminized. I think Spanishes.
In Spanish, and I'm more than willing to be corrected, but A indicates feminine, O indicates masculine, comes from Latin.
Right. Right.
But now I know the story I told earlier this evening. Now I know, I'm not the first trans woman ever to run for a seat in the House of Delegates of the state of West Virginia. I am, according to some old codger, some queer.
I may have to
introduce myself that way going forward. Hi, I'm Robin. Some queer.
Well, you're a suspiciously large woman, queer.
Yeah, well, and see, that's the sad thing. That poor dumb bastard doesn't realize that's not an insult anymore. He only thinks it is.
Them boobs are fake.
Them's fake boobs. I had to go do blood work today, and I walked into the office, and I was like, oh, damn, they're not here. Because I was hoping that them fakes, them's fake boobs. The couple would be there.
Those folks.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there you go. That's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, Robin. That's like, you know, you will never cross that way again, as the Seals and Crofts song.
I know. It's kind of like the tattoo I got on my left arm. It's sort of a Japanese version of we shall never pass this way again.
Yeah.
Ichigo Ichie.
I got to listen to that song. That's a great song.
Oddly enough, I've been thinking about I need to listen to that song too. I'm not kidding. I'm not just saying that to. Yeah. No, it's that's been on my mind. Things like that do.
Very spiritual song. Yeah.
And by the way, if you and Star want something that's just so eminently danceable, you know, like when nobody's watching or whatever.
Okay.
It came out, I guess, sometime last year. I discovered it on Christmas Eve, 2021. Turned Annette onto it, and we can't stop listening to it. It's called the Panau Remix, PNAU, of Elton John and Dua Lipa, who is amazing. Doing Cold Heart, and it contains a chunk of Rocket Man, and I want to karaoke that so bad, Rick. The fact that Dua Lipa sings it. That part. I'm not the man they think I am at all. Oh, no. No.
I think I heard that on Spotify before they probably withdrew from Spotify.
Possibly, yeah. I want to work that up for karaoke if it exists. And the other thing I told Annette the other day that I'm going to work up for karaoke, it just dawned on me. It was perfect. The Bonnie Raitt version of Angel from Montgomery.
Oh, that's nice.
You got to remember it opens, I am an old woman.
I think I got to switch to Pandora. I mean, I have all my great mixes on Spotify, so I've got to, like, before I cancel the subscription, I've got to, like, figure out what artists are on which, like, daily mix. I've got, like, 6 daily mixes, and I just play one, and it just starts to play shit. And
I am so unsophisticated in that regard. I mean, I just
oh,
I,
okay.
I just tell that woman that lives in my phone to play something, and then she decides what I need to hear after it. Sometimes she's right.
Yeah.
Sometimes she's wrong.
Yeah. Well, more often than not, they're right, because they use the they use the formulas, and they know what to play. They know what you like. It's scary.
Kind of creepy.
Like, oh.
No, it's not kind of creepy. It's a lot creepy.
Well, it is and it isn't, because it's the sort of, you know, they kind of know what genre of music you like, what decades, that kind of thing, what kind of artists. And so they just, you know, bring in some new stuff that you don't necessarily hear. So, like, Daily Mix 2 doesn't always stay the same. I, like, hear new shit I haven't heard on it before. That's my go-to right now is Daily Mix 2. And there's no, you know, there's no internet connection at the place where I golf, but because I've listened to these same, like, daily mixes so many times, it just automatically works somehow with my Bluetooth speaker and, you know, on Spotify. But again, I'll have to switch to Pandora.
Yeah, Spotify
better.
Spotify's spotty. They gotta go.
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Well, you probably have to go too. You're like it's like 8:20.
Yeah, we did a little overtime, but that's cool. I'm gonna be missing programs, so maybe Podbean won't hold it against me.
There you go. Hopefully not.
Jerks.
Hopefully not. Well, exactly. Well, have a safe trip to the, down to Alabamistan, and I'll probably at least show up on the porch briefly. But you know, I can. The connection is so bad, I can't even really say anything. So
I hate
I'll
that.
Usually, just listen and monitor it. Yeah, I usually listen and monitor it because you may recall I can't use the internet on the computer here.
Right.
And so I can't use the Skype. I can't use Skype on the computer. I'm using a smartphone. So that's kind of what I'm relegated to. So it's sort of like, you know, a low-tech solution, which I don't like, you know, but that's the way it goes, you know.
No, something. Yeah.
Anyway,
you bring your good Midwestern stoicism to it all. Billable Rick, you take care. It's so lovely to hear from you.
Absolutely, Robin. You be well, my friend, okay?
I will. I absolutely will. You take care.
Awesome.
Don't scratch on the eight ball tonight. We're sending you all the good juju.
Okay, and I know now, and Jude is in on that as well. So
absolutely,
I won't scratch on the eight ball. Don't worry. All right, man.
All right, see ya,
woman. All right, we'll see you.
Bye. Later. Bye. Oh, what an evening of fantastic conversations. Thanks, everybody. Thank you, Billable Rick and Irwin and Ken. Thank you. And thanks, everybody, who jumped in responding to Frank's challenge. We're $20 away from meeting that. Just 20 bucks. And that means that tomorrow we'll just be at $8.99, which is a lot better than being at, you know, $13.99. Yeah, I love the way the magic works. Jude just said, last week I almost sent you the Seals and Crofts song, "We May Never Pass This Way Again." Breathing deeply in gratitude for all of you. Thank you, Jude. Thank you for being our spiritual advisor. And thanks to all of you. Thank you to our PayPal and Patreon subscribers with your kind gifts helping to keep all of this going. Thank you to our a la carte contributors. Thank you so much. Thank you to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you may choose. Thank you to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky this evening in the chat room. Thank you to Steve from Georgistan in the chat room. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, HeadOn.live. Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Again, happy birthday, my dear friend. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thank you to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the men and women of Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20 plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia. This would be a great time to reach out to your member of the House of Representatives and ask them to pretty please co-sponsor H.R. 2073, the Appalachian Communities Health Emergency Act, the AIC Act.
It means the world to Appalachia. Please stay safe. Do everything you can to be safe. Get your booster. Get your KN95 masks. Test if you can. Test if you need to. Wash your hands. Don't touch your face. Use your hand sanitizer. Keep your social distance 15 to 20 feet, according to Paul from Parts Unknown, and he would know. And, you know, if somebody comes barking and yawping at you saying, "Oh, I'm invading the Capitol to stop the commies," avoid that person like the plague. Because he is. Later.